Hey, welcome to the show. You've been up to a lot of new stuff lately, and I was wondering if we could ask you just a little bit about it. Anyway, I know that you're doing a project with Dr. David Duke. You're also working with Ryan Kessler over on FTJ on some stuff. Can you tell us about any of that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really doing anything for Kessler. I'm just kind of being training wheels for the tech for him to get him going. That's basically all I'm doing with that. So there's not much to that. But the Duke thing is pretty cool, and we're gonna do another one tomorrow.
Okay, that's pretty awesome. Now, I noticed I watched the first one, and we were lucky enough to interview David Duke a couple of weeks ago and really had a banger show with him. But he's got a whole lot of content that he was talking about at that time that he kind of wanted to show people and kind of wanted to work on. Is that sort of what you guys are doing? Are you guys covering like current events and shit like that?
Yeah, I think the goal of it is actually to produce little videos that we can ultimately kind of make into clips and promote widely. Like, he was very excited about the idea that I can kind of present media on top of our discussion and things like this, which kind of it enables you to, produce these kind of videos, but kind of skip a lot of the editing. If you can do it just right, you can. I'm trying. Look, there's a lot of people I've been trying to sell this on for a long time. I think Modern Politics could even do theirs probably multiple times per week if they were able to pick up the same tech, because once they got it down, I mean, you can produce a lot faster, and the editing you'd have to do would be way less. So that's kind of the idea, is to kind of produce shorter, consumable, spreadable kind of videos that we can use like that.
Oh yeah, I think there's a massive market for almost anything pre-recorded. It seems like there's so few people that make content, especially videos, that they can just put out there and people can just can kind of consume in small bites, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So, right on. You do a lot of that too, though, right? Like you've done quite a bit of content yourself. You're a little bit well known for your high production value, and actually, you got a really solid show on white nationalism. You've done an entire series on the founders of white nationalism, going all the way back to like Rockwell and stuff, right?
Yeah. No, I've been trying to cover everybody that was instrumental in its formation, you know. I was trying to think of something I can do to actually contribute, you know. It's a little bit hard to actually make something that's worth a contribution that people will consult for some value. And I think that, where I was looking around and I was seeing that there is basically two functions in our whole scene. You basically have people that are just trying to produce entertainment, which is fine. That's just fine. And then you have people that were trying to produce education. I'm trying to kind of go down the middle, because if it's too educational, like, nobody wants to turn into a fucking live stream to hear Professor White Nationalism. That's fucking boring. But at the same time, like, I think that this stuff needs to be reiterated, because I think a lot of people don't know. And let's be honest, I didn't know. I didn't know when I first came into this stuff who these people were, what their contributions were, why it mattered. Who gives a shit, right? What? Why? What? Who cares who this guy is? Well, you need to know that, because this stuff didn't sprout up yesterday, right? And I think it would be kind of useful to have this tool, this sort of evergreen tool to consult. And I'm attempting at least to make it that way so that people can have this resource to consult. When people are new, they can say, oh, who's this guy? I go, oh, well, you can check out this. So, there are things that I won't put in the archive paywall. So, like, those I won't, interviews I don't, stuff like this. Because, yeah, hopefully it has evergreen value. So hopefully it'll help people.
I think that's one of the reasons I really like your show is that it really is it's thoughtful content, and you actually do, try to build value into your content that does bring value even later for replays, for people that catch it later, or as a reference. There's a lot of cases where, exactly like you said, someone may ask me, who's Bob Matthews, or ask me for some more information on somebody, and I can literally point to your series and say, this is the guy you got to watch. He did all the legwork. And we lacked that, like, so big. We're still going back to like Zundel videos from the early 80s, to tell people stories about stuff, but there's no modern content. So you seem to kind of be aware of that same shortage, and it's kind of nice to see somebody putting time and energy into building that kind of stuff. So
Well, I mean, I
go
think
ahead.
there's two components to it, right? And you do this well in terms of actually creating things. I think that, it's very easy just to pull up other people's stuff. And there's not necessarily something wrong with commenting on other people's stuff, but at some point, you got to try to put some kind of uniqueness of your own into the whole mix and try to make it, some kind of a contribution that's specific to you. And yeah, Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's interesting because you look at these experts of times past, right? Like, so other than the White Nationalist Founder series, I was working on one for Revisionists too, as you mentioned, Zundel. You have a guy like that, like their primary thing is to like hyper-specialize in one category and become an expert on that category. That, I think, is a thing that we lack, at least in the younger generations, including, of course, my own. I'm, you know, excluding the older generations. It's hard. It's hard to become a hyper specialist now. I think, Flood? I think the economic pressures that everybody in America is put under, it kind of keeps people like too busy to kind of invest in the things that they want to invest in the right kind of way. You know, I think it's kind of sad because I've often said this, like if I could just, I wanted to build my show big enough that I could do like three shows a week, but really high end shows. And I find it hard to do that. I find it hard to fight against the censorship. I know this is a thing that you've had to fight against really hard as well. And it's not just censorship and outright like banning. It's like suppression. If they don't promote your shit is on the bottom of the stack on the very beginning before you even upload it, really.
100%, man. And you're right about the financial aspect too. It's crazy because in the old days, you see these guys, you know, taking a trip to Majdanek, taking a trip to Auschwitz, you know, taking a film crew with them. You know, basically doing field research, and it's very difficult to, you know, to imagine being able to do something like that, especially if you're, you know, listener supported or independently funded, any of that kind of stuff. And of course, as you say, there is no corporate funding. There is no, professional network that's going to bring on a right wing, you know, creator, right wing investigator, anybody that's wanting to touch the Holocaust at all that's verboten. And so, if it weren't for like self-funded or listener-funded stuff, there would be no right-wing news at all. There would just be no right-wing media content. We would all be thinking that Hannity was right-wing. You know what I mean? And we really do move the window that much farther, you know, if it wasn't for people like us or like, you know, Giuseppe the G-Man or, you know, Red Ice, these people wouldn't, Hannity would be the most right-wing content out there. And we wouldn't know anything, right? We'd all be giving our money to Jews every day. We'd be donating to the synagogues.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're approximately around my age, so you know what it was like when you were younger or growing up, I guess you might say. What was defined as right wing was fucking neocons. It was Jewish neocons, and so like that's as repulsive as the left wing, just from the other angle. And so I think that this kind of turned a lot of people off to the right wing when we were younger. I mean, I know that I was turned off by it. You know, who the fuck wants to follow a bunch of Paul Wolfowitz and these kind of people, right? I forget all their names. There's a whole list of these Jewish neocons. And who wants to follow these kind of people? Who sees that as actually right wing? Because, of course, it isn't. It's right wing in the sense that it's Trotsky. It wishes to use military power to enforce a global, you know, sort of crypto Jewish communism in the flavor of neoliberalism, using the neoliberal rights and kind of shibboleths, I guess, to convince people that it's legitimate. And they still do this all the time, right? They always frame things in terms of human rights. They frame things in terms of, you know, fighting the bad guys. Of course, somehow for them, the bad guys are always the Nazis, even though that ended in 45, at least officially. You know, so, yeah, they have these ghosts that kind of are the bad guys that they define their system by fight as fighting. And even now, I mean, you'll hear them kind of every side wants to kind of compare the bad guys. Like, they're calling like Netanyahu a Nazi. It's like, what are you talking about? That guy's the literal opposite of a National Socialist on any level. What are you talking about? But it's because, you know, they have this ghost image, right? This mythical boogeyman, and they want to use that as the sort of framing. It provides them a framework to justify what they're doing. Any extreme shit that they do can be justified because, oh, we're stopping this guy who's going to do this horrible thing. I mean, Netanyahu is a horrible monster, but I think you get the point. Like, they've constructed this whole ideological framework, and it justifies the things they do. But really, at the end of the day, what is the neoliberal order we live under? It's probably the most evil, oppressive, tyrannical system that ever existed if you look at it as a whole, if you zoom out to, you know, 6 million feet.
Yeah, if you go to the secular ones, they're the ones that are eating babies and sacrificing shit to Molech, right? I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, have you ever, I mean, I've only been doing this for a little while. I don't know any really hardcore, you know, liberals or leftists. Do you know any, I mean, have you ever interviewed any, or are you familiar at all with any of their thinking? Do they really believe that shit? I mean, you know, who really is the target demographic for these kind of psyops? You know what I mean? It almost seems like it's impossible for there to be such a person that would believe all those things and still be able to function and breathe and, you know, and maintain an income and pay more, you know, all that kind of shit. But have you ever crossed paths or had any on your show? Have you ever done any of that kind of stuff?
What do you mean, lefties?
Yeah, like hardcore leftist, you know, just the opposite opinion from kind of
what I mean, I don't think I have. I don't think I have. I think that they would be very allergic to my show, but I don't know. You know, maybe that's even kind of as like a novelty would be kind of an interesting thing to explore in terms of the post October 7 kind of world, because a lot of lefties became quite anti-Jewish and anti-Israel. And maybe there is common ground on that because, you know, as you know, ultimately the left and right thing is it's a fake construct. There's no real left and right. This is a racial conflict, and really it's a struggle for power between the races. And I think, you know, once we start to look at the world that way, it starts to make a hell of a lot more sense. When we look at it within these constructs we're provided, it seems very chaotic and nonsensical. Once we look at it through the lens that, wait a minute, these are actually different racial groups and they are struggling for power, and it's a zero-sum game. There's only X amount of power in the world to go around total. So as a result, somebody has to win and somebody has to lose in almost every dynamic. I think when you sort of look at it that way, it starts to make a lot more sense. And I think, you know, lefties kind of, that is one of their strengths. That is one of the things that communism and Marx and all these fucking scumbags got right, is that there is this kind of struggle for this. And you know, I think they got it wrong. Well, I mean, I don't know that they were trying to get it right with communism. I think communism was meant to undermine the social order. But, you know, one thing they got right in assessing it anyway is that, you know, there is a struggle for power. I think the thing that makes it so divisive and wrong and destructive, what they do is they try to put it between the economic classes. So they try to cause a fight between the economic classes. And then when that didn't work in America, of course, you know, the Frankfurt School came here and they said, oh, well, okay, well, this isn't going to work here. What can we do? So they try to turn women against men and men against women, blacks against whites, whites against blacks, you know, this kind of stuff. And, you know, these are real problems. I mean, whites and blacks, for example, never got along in America. Let's not kid ourselves. But they took that reality and they figured out, okay, well, we can amplify that fissure and we can just pry that shit open until it's like this crazy problem and amplify it, you know, more than it already was. So, you know, I don't know. I think that when you look at it that way, when you look at it that the world is a struggle for power between the races, it just makes so much more sense.
You know, Bezmenov, I think, really hit it. He said that if they can't use class, they use religion. If they can't use religion, they use race. And that seems to be kind of the formula that they seem to follow. You mentioned something about language just briefly about, you know, kind of like calling yourself a right winger or defining the right wing. When you said that, I kind of noticed it. Like I always just make myself my own position by default, the right, you know, the right winger, right? Because if you're one of the two, you're definitely a right winger, and so that becomes the point of reference, and thus every other right wing, all the other right wing groups that are a little bit more civic nationalist minded or just civic minded are generally faggots and losers, and you know, we make a lot of fun of those guys. But are we pigeonholing ourselves by calling ourselves the right wing? Is there kind of a language trap in that? You know, we were watching an interview with Curtis Yarvin, I think, last night on the show, and Yarvin actually was the guy that invented the term red pilled. And Yarvin's a Silicon Valley Jew who's, you know, like nihilistic and, you know, kind of postmodern and just really seems demoralized. But to kind of like hear for a second that he was the one that made up this term, or at least he claimed to be the one, it kind of occurred to me, like, are we really using our own ideas? Are we really using our own language? We talk like we're based and we're red pilled and all this kind of shit, but if we're just using the language of some, you know, pseudo communist Jew, then we really aren't. You know, we're not developing our own ideas. We're not developing our own ideology. Are we really just playing into something that's kind of already been seeded and set up for us, you know, if we walk into this kind of whole based thing, because you notice a lot of these guys are robots too, right? They do everything the same way automatically. I realize it's kind of a far out question for really early in the show, but it's just something that occurs to me, you know, like it feels creepy to think that you might just be using terminology and thought patterns and ideas that were completely pre-planned for you. And I don't want to go too far into the Matrix, but do you ever have that thought, or am I just paranoid?
No, that's accurate, man. That's accurate. I mean, like, here's the thing, right? Like, all these concepts, like, none of these are organic in the sense that they, like, came from nature necessarily. I mean, these were all constructed. And they're built upon, right? Like, one thing builds upon another thing, builds upon another thing. I mean, even the thing of left and right, right? That thing, I'm speaking in a weird way, but the whole left and right thing, that originated from the French Revolution, right? And the French Parliament being split into the two sides. And, you know, it's a generalization. If you look at the most functional societies, they try to abandon that. I mean, everyone's favorite example around here, of course, is NS Germany. Okay, well, what did he do, right? He unified the nationalist and socialist, right? And he just kind of took the functional parts of both worldviews and made a better version that's a synthesis of both. You can find other examples of this too. I don't think it's natural for any country to be kind of divided into half, where half the people have this experimental attitude for how the society should function and are willing to take like insane risks in how they want to govern things and what kind of social crap that they want to allow. And then have the other side be saying, oh, hey, wait a minute. It worked better when we had traditional values, and have that kind of magnetic poles pulling at each other constantly. I don't think that's the natural state of things. I think we could have countries and governments and life without that and have a more functional life. The problem is like, who's going to lead that, right? Like that's the biggest problem at the end of the day that I always come back to, is we don't have any leaders. We have infinite politicians. We have infinite, you know, like careerist people that make a career out of it, but they don't really lead shit. You know, like, and these people could lead their way out of a paper bag, really. I mean, even Trump is not really a leader, is he? I mean, he's a good politician, I guess, relative to the other options, sort of.
Yeah, he's not even a good fast talker.
He's also, like, better for Jews than the other side, too, which is why he's in. It's one of the reasons he got in. They wanted him in, right? So I don't know how that happens, Flo. That's the biggest problem, right? We get a sincere leader that actually cares about things that matter, like nation, race, country, this kind of stuff. And what happens to them? I mean, in most cases, they just get fucking whacked by Mossad or something. They don't make it because they get fucking assassinated. So I don't know how that solves itself. You know, some people put forth the decentralized model. Well, that can work in a resistance movement, but I don't know how that works in governing a country. I don't think you can govern a country with, decentralized.
They kind of oppose. Yeah, they oppose ideologically decentralization in governing. You know, to me, it seems like, you know, if you go back, look at Jefferson, you go back and look at some of the founding fathers, it seems the way it works is a thought leader emerges with a school of thought, kind of like Marx did, you know, or whoever kind of came up with the early Frankfurt School stuff. And then from the thought leaders come the ideas. And this is what was scary about this Yarvin guy. This guy is really not qualified to be a thought leader for either side. He's literally a depressed Jew that just wants everything to fucking burn down. But he says anti-communist, of course. He says he's anti-communist. But he just happens to want the exact same things that communists want. A monarchical dictatorship, a cleansing of the world's institutions and a resetting of the financial system. You know, just all the typical Jew commie shit. But he just simply calls himself that. He's not extremely deep, but he's an extremely influential person. He's looked at as almost a philosopher among not just a lot of kind of people in tech in Silicon Valley, other Jews in Silicon Valley in tech, but the current Trump administration has a lot of like fans of his. And then this guy has kind of got a scary outlook on things. Very, very, very Jewish. I mean, it's just really Jewy. And it kind of occurred to me, we were talking about kind of doing a show on it, that they're kind of trying to switch out the right wing. They're trying to replace just the right wing by holding the ideological left in opposition while the left sets them up as the right wing. Like this YouTube video we watched was a leftist doing a takedown video of Yarvin under the assumption that he's a right wing, you know, like he's a right wing thought leader and we've got to stop this guy. And I'm like, no, he's a fucking commie Jew. and you're setting him up so that we'll take his side. You know what I mean? And it just, it all seems fucking fake and gay, bro. And so as long as that's the case and that those are the people that are being talked about and those are the people that are writing the books and getting published, we don't have a chance to have a leader because there is no organic, true way for a thought leader on our side to emerge and to be published and to be read and to be accepted. And then for those ideas to find their way to a person with the leadership experience to put them into action.
No, you're right. I mean, people like this Moldbug Yarvin character, you know, he's smart. Like he's smart. A lot of these people aren't dumb. I mean, they're intelligent people. It's just their motives are not helpful for things that really matter. They're not helpful. Certainly not helpful for the preservation of the white race. That much is for sure. I mean, he's Jewish. So they're trying to go with it. It's kind of incumbent upon us to provide a real alternative, right? I think that's something we need to be able to do. Well, my frustration and anxiety about it, though, is actually in their most successful thing, censorship. Like, that has actually been their most successful tool at holding us down. That has been the most successful tool at keeping the lid on people talking about the evil that these people pose and what we could do about it. I probably get a lot of heat for it, and the response is like, well, what are you doing, bro? But, like, I have to say, man, like, nobody's come up with the solution yet. Nobody's come up with the exact model that works. When somebody really does, when it's like actually, you know, somebody invents the new light bulb of like activism or organizational creation, I guess. When that happens, and that's the thing that white people need, everybody's going to jump on board in the same way that everybody bought a fucking light bulb when you could get one, right? Or a Model T for that matter. So eventually that will happen. I don't know who's going to be able to do that, and I don't know when it will happen. I don't know how it will happen. I don't know what it will look like, but that has to happen. I think at some point it will. I think ultimately, like I say, I think I'm black-pilled in the short term, man. Like, I don't think things are necessarily good in the short-term future, but in the long-term future, I'm pretty white-pilled that eventually it turns around, we get a handle on this thing, and we start to figure out how to take power back for our people in our fucking countries.
That's a... Yeah, you are going to get in trouble for saying that. Yeah, yeah. You're not wrong. I mean, those are the dirty words, right? In a way, I think maybe you kind of illustrate the point that I'm trying to make. Like, even we've been tricked into making each other stop saying those words, right? Like, don't say political power. Don't say political power. There's no political solution. Well, are we just removing our own reality? We're just removing from our own reality the programming language that it takes to get there, right? If you just remove the words political power from your vocabulary, then you can forget about ever having the real thing, right? Because if you can't say it, you can't have it, right? Like, it won't become a thing if it's not part of the language. So are we fucking ourselves over by, you know, cutting, you know, self-censoring those ideas? It's a crazy thing to think about, you know, but it's kind of scary if you think about the ramification that could be a weighed and measured, an anticipated kind of reaction to those kind of pressures. Does that make sense? Like, if we don't talk about political power, we'll never have it, right? Like, if the opportunity for it to come around or to be developed as an idea will never happen, and therefore the odds of it happening are that much more astronomical.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't see how we get it. I mean, I'm pretty. I think you share this with me to an extent right now that it's not looking great for us right now. You know, we're not.
Well, really, I don't think you're gonna get it in 2 years, right? And you're not gonna get it in, you know, 5 years. And it's probably gonna be a generational thing. But like, if we dispense with the language of it now, then there's literally no chance of it ever happening. Especially if it takes more than one generation.
Yeah. It is going to be a generational fight, right? Like,
so we kind of have to have those conversations, you know? Like, even if people don't like it, even if faggots out there are going to say terrible things about you for, you know, just having the crazy idea that you might be able to have political power in some crazy way someday, you know, the way to make sure that you won't is to not ever fucking talk about it.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, so talking about these things is the stage of organizing your ideas. You have to organize your ideas before you start acting on your ideas, right? It's a stage by stage process. You know, I think there's a lot of people who have a lot of anxiety about, like, oh, you know, it's all just talk. We're not doing anything. And this is not new either. I mean, this just goes back to, you know, Bob Matthews and those guys. Like, that's one of the reasons they got active in the way they did, you know. People argue about that in a lot of ways too. But I think there's an anxiety about, like, oh, shit, well, we're just talking a lot. We're not doing anything. I get that. I mean, I understand. But I think there's still a value in organizing these ideas. I think there's a value in converting the people that can be converted to understanding them and understanding the severity of it, man. I mean, I was looking at charts and stuff and looking at, I think it was like a clip from the Modern Politics on Emily's thing. And, you know, if you look at these charts, like, it doesn't look good, dude. By the time we're in our 60s, by the time we're the age of the boomers now, like, you're looking at a very brown America, like fucking brown, like brown, like it's gonna be fucking dirty, dirty brown. And it's not like there's going to be a few brown people. It's going to be like the majority brown people. Right now, if you're like a kid, you're already a fucking minority. Like, you're already a minority in the country of your forefathers. Like, how sick is that? This used to be a European country. This used to be a settlement of Europe. Now, I mean, what is it? It's a Jewish melting pot. It's Emma Lazarus's wet dream. It's fucking sick.
That's true. And I think that it's necessary to draw those comparisons to what they, you know, what we had before, which was not long ago, by the way, folks. We're talking less than a century. I mean, less than really about 50 years, maybe 60 or 70 years, for what, a 30 or 40% decrease in the population of the nation as the numbers, as the population exploded too. So this is a lot more browns than it sounds like, right? Like, we're not talking about adding 40% of the 1910 numbers. We're talking about adding, you know, hundreds of, or, you know, tens of millions of illegals to a place that only had a couple hundred million people at most, you know, in the current time. So it's kind of like IRS math, right? Like, a 17% increase isn't really a 17% increase. It's a 36% increase, you know, just, you know, expressed in the numbers of a different time, right? They always do that in 1920 dollars, or, you know, and they always try to reframe the numbers to a different time than when you live in, so that they don't have to be honest about it. It's just, it's another trick. It's another thing these guys always do to us. And it's become kind of the media that we're used to, right? A lot of Jewish intellectualism and a lot of word twisting and definition budging and all the other nigger words they came up with for that shit. Code speak or something like that. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking crazy. But I think we see it. So, like, there's a good chance that the kids are going to see it and that they're, you know, they are kind of wise to the tricks, I think. I mean, I see a lot of people in chat that are obviously aware of it. But
I think well, I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, they change society by changing people's minds. Like, they didn't come, like, think about this, right? Like, the Jews and these kind of people and the Shabbos Goy assistants, they did not change society through a war. They did not fight a war and conquer us. What they did is they changed the ideas. They shifted how people view the world and how they view themselves and how they view concepts around how they could live their life. And they introduced poisonous concepts. And when they do this, oftentimes changing language is a big part of it, right? If you can change the definitions of words, you can change how reality is seen. And they were masters at this. And it's its own sort of sorcery, if you really think about it. I mean, it's... when you change the minds of millions and millions of people, it changes their behavior too. It's not just 100%. Like an attitude thing, right? It's actually how they see the world. And then it's how they see the world, it's how they act in the world. When they act differently, they change how it functions. And, you know, that's what's different. Like, if you think about, okay, like, say, I don't know, take 1955 versus 2025. What's different? I mean, you have modern technology.
That's what they are. We used to call it mind control, bro. It was a Buck Rogers term. You know, they shot you with a laser, then they controlled you. It is exactly what we got, you know. They shoot you with a space laser, and they control your mind. They control your reality. You're 100%. I agree 100%. It's that's a vast oversimplification of it, but that's it. It's voodoo. It's Kabbalah. Speaking of Kabbalah, do you like Stromboli?
Lizards.
Yeah.
In a way it is. In a way it is, you know. Well, that's it, right? Like, those people in particular, like, they've had a connection to the other side forever. That's what their whole thing is about. Now, our people used to have our own connection to the other side too. I mean, we didn't do it in the same way, obviously, but you know, the other side is the other side. It's like a territory. It's not really good or evil. It has good and evil in it, just like the world, physical world does. But they had a connection to that other realm, to that energy only realm. And we used to too. And I think when I was kind of severed from the European, I think we lost a lot of our power. And I think that was an intentional subversion, is to strip us of that otherworldly connection. Doing so then severed any power we could derive from it. Meanwhile, they still do. And, you know, part of that is learning tricks like what they do with the word changes and stuff, right? Like this
wow,
stuff is
fuck,
not...
Ben. You just blew my fucking mind. Nick from Night Nation, incredibly big brain fellow here. I mean, that's kind of nuts, man. I mean, that's a pretty deep take. I got to say, man, I always enjoy talking to big brain people because I like things that make me think, right? And maybe that's Ooh. Overrated. Maybe that's maybe that's Fled loving niggers or something. But, you know, like I don't get enough of this kind of stuff, man, from our normal programming in our community. And there needs to be more deep thought. Without this kind of stuff, the ideas can't come into the world, right? There's no opportunity for them. So it's not necessarily a means to get a president in the United States or anything, but to get our people thinking on this metaphysical level, to really understanding the nature of the reality that they're dealing with. Otherwise, they're a kid in a battlefield, right? They shouldn't even be there. They don't even know the nature of the ground they're walking on.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Very well put. Very well put. Like, there is a war that's happening on the other side as much as here in the physical world. And, you know, the other side, quote unquote, is not somewhere else. It's around us right now. So if we seed that ground and we say, oh, wait, that's not real, anybody that thinks that's real is crazy or Kabbalah wizard or whatever retarded thing somebody would say about that. Well, you're seeding that ground, or some people would say, like, oh, it's satanic, bro. It's satanic. All that means is that you haven't assessed it. You don't understand it and you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And because you've decided to do that, you've let that whole battlefield go and they've taken the whole thing without even, you know, quote unquote, firing a shot because they don't have to. They just, our people just go, oh, well, I don't want to deal with that, man. Like, I'm not supposed to. It's like, okay, well, now they're the only ones dealing with it and they fucking own it. And anything that can be gained from that is entirely theirs. And what are our people bringing back from that battlefield? Not wins, not scalps, not,
dubs. Yeah. I know. It's kind of sad. Hey, Vocational Science of Freedom over on Rumble. Shout out to VSOF, by the way. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He's got some fantastic stuff on Odyssey. You know, kind of understands the legal fiction that the United States is built on. A lot of stuff. Think like Sovereign Citizen, but like more thought out and more, you know, more well-researched, more professional than, you know, the hippies that were, you know, calling themselves Sovereign Citizens whenever you knew them in the libertarian movement, right? And the guys walking around with fucking notes from their mom for the police to shit when they get pulled over. He's taking it to but it's a whole new level, and he really does get into the legality of it. I'm going to try to get him on, but I saw him here, and he mentioned that natural law, really, like our understanding of natural law and our ability to work with natural law was the underpinning fundamental of our society and our systems of civil law at one time. But since we've gotten away from that, we're enslaved essentially. I mean, don't let me just put words in your mouth there, sir. But essentially we've gotten away from natural law, and our way back is to reclaim our understanding of it. Right. And to figure out where we sit in that and how that law is universally applied. And then, you know, kind of a refamiliarizing ourselves with that will lead us kind of back in the right direction. I kind of tend to agree with that. It's very David Lane kind of precepts kind of oriented view of things, but I think natural law plays a huge part in a successful future. Do you agree? What are your thoughts on natural law? Have you studied the precepts?
Yeah, maybe not as in depth as I should, but I have. I think that's the way to start fixing this, is to figure out the roots of this, figure out natural law, because natural law is not, it's not subjective. It's just a thing, right? Like gravity, right? It's just there. And it's the rules that nature sets for life, right? And it's not just like physics. There's more to it than that. There's sort of dynamics of how you interact with other beings. There's dynamics of how you treat yourself and other people in your group, in other groups. There's all sorts of things. I think it's a great starting point for like redesigning how our world should be. I mean, of course, the first step would be you have to get power first, really, to start to implement any of it. But it's still good to understand it in advance, because who knows, maybe you're presented with a situation where you do find a group and the opportunity historically comes up where you're able to do that and you do take power. Well, if you don't know how this all works, well, then you just don't know what to fucking do with it. And there have been cases of that in history where, you know, certain groups were upset with how things are running. They take power and then they don't know what to do. You know, they're like a dog that fucking caught the truck that was driving by, right? They don't know what to do with it. So we need to know what we want in advance if we're ever going to be able to change anything on like this real level. I think the thing that frustrates people and makes them roll their eyes and be like, it's never going to happen, bro, is because they don't really know the path to getting power. I think it's not as clear and it's not as easy and it's not as obvious as I might make it sound just talking about it, of course. But you can study how it worked for other people in the past. You can study, everybody wants to go to the NFs. Okay, well, I mean, study them, for example. How did they take power? You know, there's a bunch of other examples too. And I think we should do that if we really are serious about this. Then again, I think we have to sort of split the scene, as it were, Flood, because there are people in this scene that they're not interested in actually doing any of this. To them, they're interested in sort of like this costume role-playing thing. And, you know, it's like a video game to them. There's no reality to it. And
it's cool to be a Nazi right now. And so it's attracting a lot of edgy people and, you know, memer, you know, and you know what, they're intrinsic. I do see they are intrinsically tied together. You know, this idea of a resurgent kind of magic. I think about it as a magic. It's like meme magic is kind of it's an easy name for a more complicated idea, but basically this sort of reawakening of this Aryan spirit, this Aryan religion, and this reacquaintance with natural law would naturally manifest as almost a magical or supernatural power. But the more you use it, the more natural it would be. It wouldn't be supernatural. Like supernatural is just a word that we use for shit that's not natural enough. But essentially like that would begin to gain momentum, power, and it eventually there might even be a power balance shift. You know, there could eventually come a point where, you know, that's how, you know, revolutions happen. That's how the new ideas begin new movements, which begin revolutions, which begin, you know, which kind of turn the fucking dial one more time, or, you know, turn the machine over one more time. It seems to be it's cyclical, but it's also very specific to those points in time that we're able to quote and say, yeah, this goes back to the French Revolution. This goes back here. Now, granted, once you kind of become, I would say, Jew-pilled, I started to see every revolution as a communist revolution that's just led us into this like totalitarian world, you know, commie world, where like the USA is like one of the last bastions of at least non-communist, you know, just non-overt communism, or what would I call it, like covert communism, maybe, but. Essentially, there has to be this. There's like a timeline, or almost I call like a flowchart. It comes from new ideas to new language to new phenomena to new movements to new revolutions to new governments. You know what I mean? There's kind of a graduating process, but it does kind of seem to come from this idea of ideas themselves coming out in a way that they're uncontrolled, where they can't be stopped. We see things going viral. We see memes going viral. We've kind of seen some of this, but the whole thing kind of works this way. You know, everything kind of becomes symbolic in a sort of way. I realize this is really heady, you know, shit. Hmm. We haven't all smoked enough weed to really, you know, maybe go that far. But that's kind of where this goes, though, right? Like we're essentially talking about a subconscious process.
Yeah.
But we're trying to consciously talk about it, right? We're trying to like speak about the unspeakable things. Hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, these processes are always going on in our minds, everybody, human minds, all the time. And there are people, well, what is it? Carl Jung said that until you make your subconscious conscious, it will rule your life and you will call it fate. I think that's a great quote, because that's exactly kind of how it works. Until you become aware of how these processes in your own mind work, you will be guided around by it like a dog on a leash, and you won't know why it's happening to you. Right.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who make very bad decisions And on some level, deep down in like in their heart, in their mind, they know it's a bad decision, but they still are impelled to make it anyway. They still feel compelled to go do the thing that they know they shouldn't do. And yeah, everything from, you know, bad sexual choices to drug choices to gambling to all sorts of shit, just all kinds of degenerate shit. Sometimes not even degenerate shit, sometimes just decisions that aren't great. But that's the value of this. If you can actually figure out a way to make the inside workings of your own mind clear to you, you'll benefit from it greatly. And one of the biggest benefits, I'll tell you right now, Flood, that I ever discovered in this kind of process and this kind of seeking is if you do it and you really, really commit to it, eventually you'll discover the core of your own intuition. And then it becomes a matter of like sharpening that and sharpening and tuning your intuition. If you tune it really well, you can kind of see your way through a lot of future decisions in advance, and it really works. And then it's really quite a blessing. At that point, the only mistake to make is to ignore it. You know, if your intuition tells you that so-and-so that you're talking to on one of these things or something is a bad actor and they're going to fuck you over in 2 years from then, you know, you should probably listen to that. If you ignore it and say, nah, that can't be. If you shut it out of your own mind and go, nah, I'm sure it'll be fine. Well, then it's probably going to end up happening, right? So this is the thing. And there have been instances where, you know, I've consciously ignored my own intuition when I knew I shouldn't have. And it's come back to bite me in the ass. You know, I knew I shouldn't talk to those people. And lo and behold, you talk to them. And lo and behold, a couple years later, it's a big fucking problem. So that's just an example. And there's a ton of examples of this kind of stuff. It can be a lot more practical than that, a lot less social than that. But that's just a practical benefit. I don't know how that works or how that benefits on a collective level. But I do think that when you have a whole populace that is encouraged to be very unaware of how their own minds work, they just laugh at that. Like, that's a dumb thing to even care about. Well, then you have an entire nation of like kind of like zombies. Like, they don't really have a lot of agency. They don't really see or how to control their own life, and they're just kind of led around. And you know, this is why the fucking Jew calls them goyim, right? Because they're saying that they're dumb like cattle, that they can be manipulated so easily and they can be misled and directed around. And you know, unfortunately, they're not entirely wrong. That's why it's up to us to defy them and to become more than that, so that that no longer applies, and to kind of defeat that that low awareness kind of zombie normie state that so many people find themselves in, where they care much more about the football games. They care much more about if the Bills win or lose a football game, or they care about, you know, what's on the television, or they care about, you know, all kinds of dumb shit. Like, there's an infinite amount of dumb shit, you know, like TikTok retardation if they're younger, or, I mean, it goes on and on and on infinitely, right? But if you start to become,
just said, is like way smarter than the process. Sorry, or I was just going to say what you just said went way over my head, so you must be not white. No, I'm just kidding. But isn't that how we handle shit, right? Like, oh, no, that's I disagree, so you're not white, and I disqualify you hereby, you know, by citing a qualification which only I possess and you don't. And that's the qualification that just so happens to make you a real Nazi, you know, or a real freedom fighter, a real rebel, or, you know, whatever the Scotsman of the month is. I'm kind of making a joke, but you know, you're right. You see how but that kind of frames how toxic that kind of mentality is, right? Like, we desperately need this understanding, and we need people that are brave enough to, you know, to at least venture to, you know, to try to verbalize this understanding and teach it to other people. And those people immediately are shut down, called Gnostics or Kabbalists or subversives or whatever. And then thereby everybody else knows not to ever talk about that fucking shit, you know, around each other. And then boom, we just did their job for them. Right. We just censored ourselves again.
No, that's a great point, man. That happens all the time.
Sinister. Yeah. Pretty fucking sinister. You think about it.
I was in a Twitter space earlier today, and it was just another example of how, like, oh, somebody doesn't agree with us. Somebody says something we don't like. They must be a Jew. Oh. It's like, I don't think people understand how fucking dumb that is. It's what it does, for one thing, is it destroys credibility. If you just call everybody you don't like a fucking Jew, well, guess what? When somebody's actually like a Jew that's sneaking in to poison the well of your community, you can't ID them anymore, because you've already called everybody a fucking Jew just because you didn't like some opinion they had. all right, well, great. Now you've blown out your fucking credibility for nothing, just for some little personal beef, right? Or worse. And this is a consistent problem in this scene. Like, people don't take it seriously. They think it's all just fun and games. Well, I guess. I mean, you can treat it that way, but then don't be surprised when you have no power to ID the real ones that actually sneak in and try to take over and poison the whole fucking thing. Nobody's going to believe you because you called everybody a fucking Jew, even though they weren't.
You know, I kind of wonder, the people that keep insisting that there's no political solution, and so the discussion of political power is stupid and gay, what do they plan to discuss once they get their ethnostate?
How do they plan to run their ethnostate?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, once they get once they've murdered their way to their goal or whatever it is they plan to do, what discussion are they going to have then? A discussion about political power, right? Yeah, right. Because once you're there with your all white nation, you've still got tons of groups of those whites that are going to argue about who should run shit and who should be in charge. And now, guess who's got no training, no experience in that discussion, and you can't just kill your way out of the situation that time. You know what I mean? You're fucked. Yeah. You're fucked. You're never going to have power. Even when you win, you won't have it.
I think all those people probably, I'm assuming anyway, have completely forgotten about the actual nature of European history. Like, all of European history is
the Nazis, right? It's just like the NSDAP, exactly. They were a political solution, were they not, I believe?
Yeah, yeah, well, exactly. Most of the there is no political solution guys have, like, the sort of siege kind of, like, skull mask and all that sort of aesthetic. And then, you know, they're always like, oh, there's no political solution, but they got all this NS stuff. It's like, well, what do you think National Socialism was for Germany? That was a political solution. Okay. So there's that. And then on top of it, it's like they don't remember that European history has been like 4,000 or 5,000 years of various white ethnicities battling it out because he didn't like the other guy's fucking religion. He was encroaching on your land. This stupid bastard was trying to steal your, you know, whatever it was, dude. There's a million of these fucking things. So, like, you know, this idea of white unity, it's great as an ideal, but it's an ideal, right? Ideals are meant to be sort of unattainable goals, like this, you know, lofty target that you strive towards, because getting closer to that target is better than not. But it's not, you have to kind of balance that against the realization that you're not meant to really probably reach the target, and that it's not feasible. It's not something you can actually do. But that even if you come 70% of the way there, that's infinitely better than if you didn't try at all. So it's stuff like that, right? Like, we kind of lose, I think we, speaking as like the community or the scene or the movement, whatever people want to call it, I think it's often people lose sight of this stuff. And I don't know. I don't think it's very helpful. I don't think it's
right. You're not the leader, right? Who are you to make any choices, right? We're going into a battle of agency, but only with a guy who has agency, not you, right? Like, so, you know, the ideology is about, you know, equal, you know, agency and respect. And we use the word unity a lot, but when it comes to granting each other agency, we're the first ones to cut each other off and to say, oh, you know, you're disqualified. I mean, it's stuff I see all the time, and I'm being a devil's advocate and a little bit of a shit here, but that's a great example of how our own guys are disarming. They're not even disarming us. We're not even given access to the weapons. You know what I mean? Because we're being blocked by our own stupid idiot people that don't understand the need for these things, the need to develop these concepts.
Yeah.
And then we're supposed to bring them along into the ethnostate, right? Like, isn't that funny? Like, they want us to, somehow work this all out and win, and then keep to their rules of, you know, who they allow in and who they don't. But they're not prepared for that conversation or to get that kind of power at all to begin with. They've automatically disqualified themselves from imposing their own ideas. It just seems really stupid. It's very childish to want to rule everybody out, and then when it's time to do anything, then you complain that there's no community. You know, we've seen this happen. I've heard this said so many times. There's no movement. Well, good. Then shut up whenever, you know, we shut up whenever any gains are made. You can shut up and let the people who did something to get there make those decisions.
There's no
right. Don't expect agency when this is said and done.
There's no movement.
Right. Right. Well, exactly. Like, you know, you can't have it both ways on things like that. Right.
Yeah, totally. Well, I know we're kind of getting out there into the weeds, but, you know, one of the things I kind of wanted to demonstrate was that Night Nation is a guy who has thought about this stuff very deeply. He studied this stuff before, and this shows in your work. It shows in your production. It shows in your show. And you're a pretty smart guy. And I think it's stupid people don't see it because they're stupid.
One of the things I kind of
want to demonstrate. You know, it's nice for us to be able to have these kind of conversations. I can tell you, I've been in this movement, like I said, for about a couple years. And I'm able to only have these conversations on the rare occasion we have a big brain show. You know what I mean? Very rarely do you even have an opportunity to talk about these things with other people.
It's nice for us to be able to have
these. Yeah, no, it's true, man. It's true. I appreciate you too, Flood. You know, you're a smart guy as well. And I'll tell you this, though, man. I wonder sometimes. I wonder if, like, there even is a place for people like us in this thing. You know, I mean, if people can kind of come into this thing and can invest an awful lot of time and energy and money and just everything into trying to make something meaningful here, and instead you get overpowered by a mob of brain dead idiots who are too busy in their role playing game to like actually try at this stuff at all, and they lie and steal and slander and attack you all day every day, and their whole goal, of course, is to drive you out. Okay. Well, then what happens if they win? Well, guess what? How long is it before there's nobody left? There's just nobody left, you know? Eventually, you're going to get there if that kind of stuff is allowed. If whites can't actually organize themselves on this very basic level, on this little, like, test level, to kind of come together and push out bad actors, obvious bad actors, who are doing everything they can to fuck something up that's pretty good, then I don't think we stand a chance. And this is like, this kind of stuff is a very, very basic test. It's not even the real, it's not the real thing. It's a baby level skirmish. And if everybody's like, oh, I mean, I don't want to get involved, bro. I mean, like, the drama's too much, dude. I don't even like drama. You know, what they're really saying, of course, is that I don't want to get involved. I don't want to stand for something. I don't want to stand by these principles that I run around telling everybody I believe in all day. That's what they're saying when they say that. So, you know, it makes you wonder, dude, like, is there enough people in this thing that are like, actually believe it to make it work? Or is it a majority of these people that are really just like, they just want something edgy. They're in it because the system told them they can't. The system told them swastika bad. The system told them no say nigger word. The system told them, you know, this. So they say, okay, swastika good, fuck nigger. Like if that's the mentality of the majority of the people in this thing, well, that's fine, but it's not going to ever be a real thing. It'll just be like some weird little, you know, I don't know what you call it, just defiance cult.
I get it. Yeah, you've got a great question, and I think it's a solid question. In fact, if people aren't asking themselves this, then are they really even in this thing? But I think I kind of agree with you. I think that if you look at who the influences are now, and if you look at who you're aware of to be, you know, carriers of any sort of influence, or are they capable of bringing about this sort of change that you kind of see that you need? I don't think that's there right now. But I, you know, at the same time, are people capable of doing the things we need to do to get where we need to go? Absolutely. I think we are. We just don't, those circumstances aren't correct yet, right? The right people aren't in the right places, the right ideas, the right times, whatever you want to call it. That can all happen, but it's certainly not happening now. I don't see the current group of people that are kind of allowed to talk about these things, talking about them, or talking about them in the right way, or, you know, getting these questions out there to people. We kind of see the same patterns, right? We see somebody starts to get a little bit of traction, or somebody starts to gain influence, then all of a sudden one day they come out and say, we should all support Israel, you know? And just like, you know, they got a new car and they didn't mention anything, but, you know, they've been bought, or they, you know, they've been corrupted somehow, or they're, you know, they're malicious. I mean, that happens too. That's one of the things I've noticed lately, is that, you know, this idea of white unity shouldn't presume that all whites are worth unifying with. There's a lot of shitty fucking whites out there that will literally sink your fucking movement if you bring them in or bring them on. And that's what I've seen the most of, are whites that are bad for this thing.
its idea of why unity
shouldn't. Yeah, well, yeah. Unfortunately, so I mean, if you think about it, like, what's the state of white people, right? It's not great. Like, our people are all fucked up, you know. And it's not surprising, and it's not entirely their fault, really, either. You know, it's just the way it. I don't know, man. It's the Neo-Weimar thing, right? It's just the way it is. And we have to face it first to fix it. If we're gonna ever fix it, we got to face it. So, you know, it makes
you hear the term race first thrown around, right? Like a lot. But yeah. does that mean always choose the white guy, or does it mean choose the things that will lead your people to victory? Because those aren't always the same two things, right? Like, fighting the smartest fight doesn't always mean just give me the white guy, you know? There may be other guys that are far more qualified for the job, right? We talk about this all the time when it comes to actual jobs in meritocracy in the world. To act like there's no meritocracy in nationalism is fucking stupid, right?
Like, there should be. There should be.
Would I pick a floppa over a Dave Gaharie for a strategic partner? Absolutely not. No. You know, because why? Because one's way more qualified than the other, and has nothing to do with their fucking race. It has to do with what they've done, with their experience, with merit. Why would I pick an inexperienced, battle partner just because of the color of his skin? Isn't that stupid? Isn't that the exact thing that they keep accusing us of doing? Is, skin color should make all your decisions, right? Because that's what they say. And of course, that's what the race first people are saying. But why would you pick a losing partner if just because they're white?
Well, there's the purity spiral argument there, right? Too. It's like, what, you know, like, okay, so like, what if somebody, like, I guess you brought up Dave. So what if he is, like, I don't know, 5% not.
He's the one that they use all the time, all the trolls. But
right. But I mean, you know, that's just a diversion. It's a diversion so that their guy doesn't get focused on, because they don't want him to be focused on, because, you know, he got found out for being a liar, and he dodged it by distracting a bunch of idiots into focusing on somebody else. And they're still, like, there are some of these people that are still.
Well, the funny thing is, race first isn't his idea. That wasn't even his idea. He's simply adopting the shit that that some other guy said, right? Some other guy came up with this fucking set of rules. Yeah,
he wants exactly. The HT.
Right. So, yeah. Because HT said something, we should jeopardize our future and our chances of success by ruling out, you know, any kind of reasonability and just going by race, right?
Well, there's so many things to unpack in that, though, right? Like, you if you're going to go with this whole race first thing, you have to very, very clearly define what that is, right? I mean, it's a problem, right? Like, a lot of these people, like, this guy in that caused trouble, he wants to define race as Puerto Rican, like white as Puerto Rican. If you're going to do that, then it means nothing. Like, so what does it mean then? You have to define it very clearly. To me, it means your ancestors are from Europe and your skin is fair. You know, that's basically what it means. You know, and then you have to ask the question, okay, well, what does it mean for people that have slight mixes? You have to come to, you know, conclusions about all these things if you're going to try to impose a standard. But then there's a whole other part that kind of gets around all this in a way, where you say, okay, well, the people that are trying to impose these standards, who are they to impose standards at all? Who is some guy with this very, very minor following on the edge of the internet that nobody outside of this little echo chamber even knows of, to impose any standards on anybody? Like, nobody knows who the fuck this guy is outside of his own little corner, or cares. And you bring up that kind of guy's name in somewhere that's a bigger venue like Twitter, no one's ever heard of him or cares who the fuck this guy is. So it's like, why would a person like that be allowed to impose standards on anybody? You know? So there's that question too. A lot of these people that want to impose standards, they're still hiding. So nobody knows what the fuck they look like. You know, I know what you look like. I mean, not publicly, wouldn't even show people publicly, but I've seen your, you know, I've seen you on video before. So I know you're a white guy. So, like, you know, so that's the thing, right? Like, if there's going to be standards, it has to be imposed from a leader. It has to be imposed from somebody who has authority because they deserve authority, not somebody who's trying to ape authority because he doesn't and shouldn't have authority. And he wants to pretend like he does, because he thinks that's going to get him social status. He thinks that's going to get him clout if he emulates this other guy that has social status, clout, and ultimately what he really is after is the money that comes with that. That's what it's always been about.
I just simply say race first is whatever. It race first is picking the people who would do best at the job at hand that would benefit my race the most, right? It's the end result.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, that's a good way to look at it, though, Flood. Like, what is going to be if you have two guys to pick from, and you, I mean, you're not going to be giving anybody fucking DNA tests. It's retarded. So if you're going to be picking, you could choose it like that. Like, what is going to be the choice in this two-man war that I'm going on? I got to pick a partner in this war, a battle buddy, I guess. What choice will then end up with the best results for my race? That's a good way to see race first. I mean, but you know what that is, though? That's a practicality over pure ideology kind of view. And I find that a lot of these guys are so obsessed with ideology that to them it's just a headcanon of theirs. It's not like based in something real. Like a lot of these people, they chimped out over D-Bot, right? Because D-Bot was truthful. He just said that he was like 20, 25, whatever it was, 10, 20, 25% Jew or something. But he was honest about it, right? He didn't try to sneak around and pretend he wasn't. You know what I mean? So, they really freaked out over that, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's the exact situation where Race First would presume that I would tell Dave Gaharry to go fuck himself. I'm going to go to GTV because HT is white, right? But that would actually be the worst thing for my race, right? Because the only thing going on over there is Omegle. Right. And a non-monetized platform that, that would not lend my show to being sustainable. Right. So it would be stupid. And the race first thing to do would be to stay at a platform that I not only monetize at, but I can also meet wonderful people and do collaboration and coordination with people that aren't doing fucking Omegle all day, you know, and actually maybe potentially make something that's actually useful. That's race first.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, you have to do something. If you're not doing something productive, like, what's the point? That, you know, it has to be something that's achieving something. Otherwise, you know, it's just a hangout. If it's just a hangout, like, why not just have like a private Telegram call, right? Like, so, yeah. One issue is that we don't have organizations, like formal organizations. Because we don't have formal hierarchies. Because we're in a formal hierarchies, then there's no like ultimate say in what is and what shouldn't be. And you have all these different little cliques, these different factions trying to beef it out and trying to assert themselves over the other factions. And, you know, a lot of this is done through undermining their enemies, which that's a tactic that the Jews use. That's, in fact, the most common tactic they use is to not attack their enemy, but to slowly chip away at the foundations that support their enemy by this sort of backhanded comments, attacks, slander, this sort of thing, characterizations. And it's, I see it all the time. You know, you see these like 20-year-old guys in chat, like chimping out over what they fantasize about in their head, but they have no frame of reference to reality. Their fantasy is so real to them that they think that their role-playing game that they're playing in their head is going to somehow result in the fantasy outcome that they fantasize about. They really fantasize that they're going to like role-play their way into all marching down the street in Hugo Boss. And I hate to be the one to say it, but that's not ever going to happen. I'm sorry. Now, some other cool thing could happen, and it could absolutely have National Socialist principles. But this idea that you're going to LARP your way into like a recreation of the Third Reich, that's a 20-year-old's fantasy. And eventually you'll get past it because it's goofy. And it's not going to happen. Like, there's a 0% chance that's going to happen in North America. Sorry, you know. But you see it, and you see them like absolutely go off the rails and attack other whites when they think that other whites are doing or saying something that's not going to lead to their fantasy outcome. And it's these sort of factional in-group. I don't know what you call it. Just
stupid. It's just stupid. I mean, it's not leading them anywhere closer to their goals, right? Even their stupid fantasy goals, they're not getting any closer to them. All they're doing is repeating the same monkey fucking shit while somebody other than them gets fucking rich from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Funny how that works. Johnny says, NR are the top in the game, and it's hard for me to fully understand the convolutions involved at that level. Not really. I think that we maybe overcomplicate things a little bit. I'm just, it's really simple, man. Simple rules come up. Simple rules don't apply very well to complex situations, right? You have to be able to think, right? We were talking about intuition before. Intuition is the thing that replaces mantra and just sticking to a simple two-word policy. People that actually think don't do that, right? They consider each situation individually. They make weighed decisions. They project things. They think about things, and then they make their choices. Sometimes that happens really quickly, but if you're just running around with a one rule book that says race first, you're a fucking monkey. I mean, you're not even that. You're a fucking idiot. Even a monkey knows, you know. Even a monkey can manipulate things and make its own decisions and, you know, do what it takes to get the banana, right? It's not being told what to do at all times by a two-word rule. Again, overcomplicating something really simple here. But I think that's another good illustration. These are simple things, and they're not grasped by the simple people.
Yeah. I don't even know where to go with that. I mean, I think, you know, we're making it very like theoretical because it just makes for something to listen to and to try to like paint a picture of how this might work. But there has to be a balance between the ideals that you want to see and what you can actually get done. If you only want to do things that are perfectly in line with your ideal, it'll never happen. The opportunity to have the perfect expression of your ideal, you'll be waiting for that until you're dead. And it's happened to many people many times. I mean, for thousands of years, there have been people that have done that. They go, oh, well, you know, I really want to, we need to fix this country. We need to do this, but it only has to be done in the perfect way. Otherwise, we can't do it. And what happens is they die old men in the same conditions, or worse, they die in a war started by some, you know, occupying power. And they don't even know why it happened. We need to be past that. We need to learn from these lessons of the past. I think you just need to strike a balance. If you can't have no ideals, because then you don't know what the hell you're shooting for. You can't have only practicality, because then selling out makes sense. So that's not acceptable. So that you can't have pure idealism either. I just don't think any of this actually works without some kind of structure and leadership, though, you know?
No, you're right. Yeah, and you're totally correct in it being mostly theoretical, which kind of makes it a pain in the ass to listen to. But the bottom line is what I really see happening is a lot of people with really high spoken ideals don't live up to those ideals themselves. And therefore, the whole thing is a clusterfuck of people accusing each other of not being – it just basically becomes a gatekeeping fuckfest, right? And so that's the thing that I'm happy to say I'm not a part of, right? I'm happy to say if you're involved in that movement, we're not in the same movement. Isn't that fantastic? And so now we all agree that we're not in the same movement. And now fuck off, niggers, right? Yeah.
They're in a movement, all right. It's a bowel movement. Like they don't have like a, yeah, they're just, I don't know, man. It's like everybody's got such different ideas about what's going on and what needs to go on. Yeah, I got one guy ranting, like I'm mirroring this into Odyssey, and I got one guy who he thinks I don't know that he's like on Team Brown People for the last 6 months, but he's just ranting and raving about, oh, Aristotle did this, and oh, we can do this, and Charlemagne ethnically cleansed everybody, and that's cool, and then so did the Bolsheviks, and that's cool, and, you know, like, oh, okay, dude, like, you know, come on, you're not doing any of that, you know, you gotta be kidding me. Most of these people are terrified of being found out for who they are. Yet they're going to talk about ethnically cleansing towns and shit. Come on, dude. Like, what are you talking about? Like, get real. Come on.
Yeah, I don't even entertain those people. I come to find, if you're not even willing to, like, stand up and speak up for what's right, you're certainly not going to act for what's right at all. You're not going to take those that much more risk and that much more danger and that much more permanent consequence. Mm-hmm. The people that aren't willing to at least say, hey, this isn't right, they're sure as fuck not going to do nothing about it. So they can talk about the most extreme shit they want, but the odds of them doing anything are fucking zero.
Yeah, Frog Eyes made a good point. He said, we obviously want to restore white demographics, but hearing infighting along the lines of, I suspect he's 5% non-whites is just LOL. Well, yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? Like, this became a retarded thing, right? Like, where these purity spiraling guys who are so obsessed with their ideals probably that they, by the way, don't live up to, which is where that whole thing came from, of this whole purity testing stuff. The problem is like you're dealing with anons online. You cannot verify anything they say. They can say, I have 6 million kids. And it's like, okay, well, do you? or do you have no kids, or do you have six brown kids, or like, do you have any, like, we can't verify any of that. And if you go, okay, well, show me some proof of your claim. You, what do you want me to dox, bro? You want me to dox? It's like, okay, well then you don't, like, you're just fan. It's all fantasy. It's all made up. It's all fake until proven otherwise. So sorry, I'm not willing to give any of these people any kind of credit for anything they say unless they can prove it. If they don't want to prove it because, oh, I don't want to get doxed, bro. Okay, cool. I understand. Then just don't expect kind of like credit or status for it then, you know? Because you're not going to get status on your word, because most of these people online, and I don't just mean in this scene, I mean just people online, lie like it's going out of fucking style. So it's like, you know, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to be giving people like status on lies. And then you have these other group of people that want to be like, they want to try to use the children thing as this clout chip, right? Like, I have kids, bro. It's like, okay, well, you know, there's a million things to just unpack in that claim. First of all, is it even real? Second of all, are they even white? Third of all, did you have them straight out of high school with the first, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend you had? You know, fourth of all, and then you go down the list. Like, the idea that these kind of things are the same, or that that's even relevant, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's great to have kids. It's a blessing. And God bless you if you did. You had white children. God bless you. However, the idea that you're going to fuck your way out of white genocide is retarded. Our problem is white genocide. It's great to have kids, but you and all your friends having 12 children, and I had grandparents that had 12 children, by the way, you're not going to fuck your way out of the demographic problem. So, you know, it's good to have kids, but that's for you. That's because of you and your life. And yeah, it's good that you're like doing a thing that is in line with the 14 words, God bless you. But at the same time, that's not a political solution, right? That's my point. It's not in and of itself a political solution. We need a solution that deals with this political problem. This is a problem that's made by policy. The white genocide reality, the demographic destruction of our people in our countries, that's a policy-based thing. It's not based on how many nuts we've busted in ovaries. That's not it, right? So yeah, I mean, and the other thing, the other part of that too, the worst, stupidest thing online is to be trying to give unsolicited advice to strangers on the internet. Like, having and raising kids is a blessing, but it's also a huge responsibility. You can't go trying to tell people online to have kids. You don't even know these people. You don't know what's going on in their fucking life. You don't know whether they're able to properly care for a child or not. We're not R-Select fucking Negroes. We are K-Select. That means we want to take care of our children properly. If we have kids, we want them to be grown up to be good quality white humans, not fucking methed out, retarded dipshits, you know? And I think that matters a lot, you know? We're quality over quantity people. And that's not going to change. I mean, that's a multi-thousand year process, right? You're not going to, yeah, exactly, Emma. Like you said, K-Select whites are not going to win a breeding war with R-Select browns. Exactly. Exactly. For having children, that's for you. That's for you. So your life is better, so that when you're older, you have children to, you know, enrich your life, and that, you know, the whole family dynamic is there and you're not lonely. That's what it's really about. And, you know, I don't really think that anybody gets with their wife or whatever and has kids and is like, we're doing this for the 14 words, baby. Oh, that's not what you're doing. You know, that's a part of it, but it's not like the reason, you know, that's an afterthought really to the whole process. You're doing it because you love the person and you want to make a kid with them. That's why you're doing it. And if it happens to fulfill the 14 words, awesome. You know, but you're not doing it in the other way around. Right. And I just don't believe people when they say that shit, but I see them do it all the time in chats, because that's like the way they think they're going to get some sort of like in-group status flood. They think, and they also think they're going to flex on you too. You know, they like go and they read some like communist document or something, some slander, some communist Jew wrote about you or something. And they're like, oh, this guy sucks. Oh, he's an incel. He doesn't have kids. Like, you don't know shit about me, dude. You don't know a fucking thing. What, you read some Jews like hate post about me and you think you know me? Fuck you. You know, it's like you get that kind of shit all the time, right? And you got
a pretty simple solution for those people. I mean, it's pretty simple anyway.
A nigger pit?
Is that crazy? Yeah. Okay, so I don't have kids. You're presuming that a numerical majority is victory, and meanwhile we're fighting a 2% minority. So you've just defeated your own argument. Yeah. You're an idiot. If you think that having kids is going to win, because when you hit 51%, you win. You're fighting people that make up a 2% minority of your entire population, and they're beating you. So there goes your fucking theory about majority. So shut up. So that's
Well, exactly, right? It goes back to the power thing we were talking about earlier, right? Like, we gain or lose power not entirely based on majority status. If that was the case, then whites would have completely controlled America right up until the point in which we dropped under 50%. Everyone listening to my voice now knows that's not true, right?
We're losing because we got under 51, guys. That's going to be the solution, man. We just got to get that number back up to. No, of course that's absurd, right? Basically, this whole argument is a ridiculous straw man, right? The fact is that the people that are here now already are either willing to take power or they're not, and the people who are, they have it.
Yeah. Yeah, and think about what the Jews were willing to do to get that power. I mean, literally anything. Kill presidents, blow up and burn alive 3,000 Americans on live international television. Like, think of the fucking shit these niggas were willing to do to get that power. I mean, the most grimy, dirty, fucked up shit you can imagine. And they did it all. And they did it with a smile on their face because they knew someday it was all going to add up. And they knew that they were going to write the history books. And they were going to make themselves out to not just be morally correct, but the fucking... the winners, and they didn't care if you liked them or not. See, that's the thing, right? Like, we being whites and as a general are not playing the game. We are not yet playing the game because we don't think it's serious enough. You know, we in this little dissident, you know, white nationalist and anti-Semitic kind of scenes and little thing, like we know it's serious and we're you know, kvetching and moaning about it all day. But the, like, average white person, I mean, shit, dude, anybody that's listening to me, go down to your local bar, go down to your local grocery store and ask any old white person, just walk up to them and be like, what do you think about the demographic problems facing our people in the future? They'll be like, the demo what now? Is that a voting thing? Like, they don't have a fucking clue what we're talking about.
You call me a Democrat, you son of a bitch.
I know Democrat. Ain't
no Democrat,
shit.
Man, shit.
I hate Obama.
Fuck that nigger. that's exactly what it's like if you go to a bar. No, you're totally right. I mean, it's kind of funny because you're right. That's why these conversations only exist in these circles, right? And you'll hear words like seether. You can go watch fucking Puerto Rican tuber over on DLive, you know, talking code to his little friends about tent this and tent that, and you're just all faggots. You're all faggots who are fucking.
Did he get his lemons today, though? That's what I'm wondering.
I don't know, man. I'm sure that they got. He must have got at least one lemon or a fucking popsicle or something.
Need something sour.
Yeah, give him some candy. Go get your man some lemons, bro.
Well, I mean, look, he's got mad weebs to fund the operation, so it's all
good. Right. So do you like Stromboli? Like, or think, like,
honestly, the more
man?
I look at it, Floyd, especially through the last 6 months, the lens of that, it's like there really is, even within the scene, I like to call it a scene. I don't call it a movement because it's not really moving towards power properly, at least not yet. There's two different levels to it, right? There's people that really want something to happen in the real world. And then there's people who desperately don't want anything to happen because as soon as something happens and as soon as it becomes the mainstream, guess what? It's no longer edgy. It's no longer cool. You're no longer sticking it to the man. Now, all of a sudden, you're just a fucking normie again. The normies came to you. They made you the normie by coming to where you are. And they are so desperately don't want that, that they're willing to lose so that that doesn't happen. And they're like that part
that's
of
funny.
The scene, that's like 40% of the whole thing.
I remember saying that 6 months ago. I said, as soon as the noticing goes mainstream, there's no more need for Nazis, right? They're gone. Yeah. They just disempowered themselves. You just and you didn't even wake people up. It was Candace Owens, nigger. You know what I mean? Candace Owens came along and basically debunked your entire fucking ideology by simply telling more people about Jews than you did, you know. And so now you don't have control over that anymore. You don't control the Jew narrative. You don't control the Nazi narrative now. Like once the mainstream people are onto the Jew, you no longer have a purpose.
Well, I'll tell you this, Flood, too. I think that that's one of the things that so many people are butt mad about in the past 6 months or so is that they saw that this was coming to an end. They saw that much bigger accounts with, you know, 100,000 times the following of them were going to take the talking points that they talk about every fucking day and they were going to run with it. And they did. And now, like, it's gone. It's broken out like this. They no longer can own that discussion anymore. So now it's like they had to find something else. And instead of finding something else, they decided, let's just try to destroy what we once had. Because it's harder to find something else. It's harder to find some other way to approach it, something else to talk about, other elements of things to discuss and introduce. That's work. That's actual work to figure that out and to make new elements to your production and stuff. They don't want to do that. It's a lot easier to just attack people that you make up some new moral standard, one you probably don't even live up to, and then impose that on other people like you have the authority, and then attack people within the thing. And that way, then you don't have to go do the work of trying to find a new way and trying to find the next thing so that Candace Owens and Dan Bilzerian and all these fuckers, that they have to come and steal your next thing in a year from now, because that's how it's going to go. When we finally do, when people like you and me, Flood, find the next thing, we'll start talking about it. A lot of other people will start talking about it, and it'll do the whole trickle-down thing that it did the last time. And eventually what will happen is we'll get to the point where that will be stolen by the mainstream too. And it depends what you want, right? Like, if you really want this, I'm assuming, we're on the same page with that. If you really want this to be eventually become a real thing, then you have to be happy for that. You have to be happy for the fact that John and Jane Q. Normie have now heard about Jewish power, and they were reached by people that would never listen to you. You know, there are people that listens to fucking Negress Candace Owens that would never listen to either of us, that now heard about the Jews and their power.
On one platform. We're all supposed to go to the same platform, and we're all supposed to do the same kind of stream, and we're all supposed to do it and hope that people go to Entropy, right? That's what we're supposed to do. I mean, I'm obviously, being ridiculous, but that's the current argument against you now. That's the whole argument against you now is you. I just heard a fat fucking guy scream about freedom of association being the widest power thing, and then try and tell me that I can't talk to Dave Gahari. You know what I mean? That seems a little bit stupid. Seems stupid. Seems like someone doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around. You notice that, there's people that have been doing this since before you and I were born, who they don't have these kind of weird hang-ups about this stuff. They're not trying to, with some guy is productive, helpful, pleasant, nice, and useful in their cooperation with them. They don't go, okay, well, give me a DNA test, nigger. They don't do that shit. David Duke is not trying to DNA test Dave Gahari. James Mason is not trying to DNA test Dave Gahari. Because if he is 5% or 10% or whatever Lebanese or something, that doesn't matter. That's fucking stupid to even care about. And that's not the point of caring about your race, is to be this retarded hyper purity spurg that is trying to use your psychic lasers to DNA test everybody and be like, oh, he's not 100% Nordic.
You gotta try this
practical way to live your life. And
when Carl comes on, ask him,
but it's not going to lead anywhere good.
Get one of those big dogs. You got Dave Duke on your show tomorrow. Ask him that question, and he's just going to sit there and stare at you like, I'm sorry, what did you say? Was I supposed to seriously consider that question? You know what I mean? Because you know why? Because the real motherfuckers in the movement that actually move the shit don't give a fuck about that shit. They don't care. They will use whatever gives them the biggest odds of victory. And they don't have these qualifying things that are keeping them from being effective at all. Right? Yeah. Because the people that are bringing this up, let's just make that clear. The people that are bringing this up, they're not that effective.
No, they're not effective at all. The only people they affect is a little echo chamber of hyper-radicalized, disaffected, antisocial weirdos who have nothing else to do all day but sit around fucking with people on the internet and LARPing as if they are more pure ideologically than the Third Reich. Because you got to remember, the Third Reich had what? They had the Nuremberg Laws. Okay, well, go take a look at what those say. If you were going to apply that standard, D-Bot would have been fine. If you're going to apply that standard, Dave Gahari would definitely be fine, among all kinds of other people that they would have shunned. Now, they have to pretend, in order for them to achieve higher fake status, of course, that they are aiming for higher purity than the fucking Third Reich. I don't know how, LARPy do you have to get, but that's maximum LARP. I don't think you can get any higher in the LARP tree than that. But that's what they're doing. And, it's entirely unproductive. It's like you said, if I even asked David Duke that, he'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's retarded. It's so dumb. It's not even worth answering.
It would make for one of the dumbest times. It might even be a dumber moment in white nationalism than Rand was on White Rabbit Radio. Right.
Oh, yeah. That was
one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Yeah. But that's the kind of people we're talking about. That's why I don't really talk about them that much, because they don't really matter that much. that I've had my
no, they don't. My and the thing about it is, like, I wonder. Times. I mean, has he been back on White Rabbit Radio since then?
I don't think so. I don't really watch him that much anymore.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't see Rand at all anymore. Actually, but it's just another example, right? But no, these were serious guys, right? These are guys everybody watches. No, of course not. Well, the first thing I found out when I was, when I walked out of the community was that the real community is much, much bigger than that. And they're just a tiny little piece of a tiny little edge of a tiny little outside crust of the I won't call it a movement, of the white racial conscious phenomenon that's happening. Mm-hmm. And it's happening to people that of all ideologies and religions and even people that I would consider like lost NPCs are bringing up race and talking about things like that now, talking about demographics. This wasn't the case 5 years ago. I mean, I've only been this for a little while, but I noticed that. Like, this was not the kind of thing that people would talk about 5 years ago even. So it's obviously happening. People are becoming aware. Whether you want to call it Hitler's spirit rising or whatever you want to call it, it's happening. And I don't think that you can stop it or make it go any faster. I don't think you have any control over it at all, really.
No, you're right. You can't. It's literally a metaphysical force, to circle that back to what we were talking about earlier. Like these this is something happening in the cosmos, and it affects humans because humans are a part of the cosmos. And we're not aware of it. As a group, we're not aware of these forces generally. And the people that are aware of these forces we're usually called priests or shamans or this kind of stuff. And, you know, Europeans used to have such a thing. Now, that was kind of flushed out in the Crusades and in all the – when Christianity swept Europe. But this was a part of the European soul. And that's not really important. I think the thing about it is, though, like, I'm quite happy for non-whites to talk about the problems of white people. I'm just not happy for them to represent us. So if they're going to represent us and be our leader, that's a fucking problem. That is a fucking problem, and I understand that completely. If they're going to just be people that say, hey, how white people are being treated is fucked, I'm quite happy for that. That's cool. I just don't want them being our leader. And, you know, like, this is the complaint I have about Fuentes. I think Fuentes is smart. I think he's a little bit subversive sometimes. I don't trust him, but, you know, he can't be a leader because he's not us, not completely. So, you know, it's a thing where I'm fine with them talking about it. I'm fine with that. I'm just not fine with them being our leader. If you're going to be a leader of whites, you have to actually be white. And we have to define that. Well, what is it? It means your ancestors come from Europe and your skin is fair. That's what it has to be. You know, you can go to other kind of metrics, right? Like, so the first time I ever talked to Billy Roper, he was telling me that he used to be a pen pal with David Lane, right? And he was saying that David Lane's metric was, if you look white, act white, and are treated like a white person, you're white. That's a very wide metric, if you think about it. That's very accepting and broad of a metric. But that would be, certain Puerto Ricans would probably get by on that, but they shouldn't.
Yeah, so, Jews too, right?
Jews too, yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I think that's maybe that's another component. Maybe they have to not be Jewish. I don't remember. I mean, he was relaying something that was relayed to him. But I think the thing about it is, like, we have too many fluctuating definitions. We have no hierarchies. We have no organizations. And this makes it a mess because nobody knows who to talk to, and everybody's getting different definitions. Everybody's getting different opinions. Everybody's getting different standards, and nobody knows how this should work. And, you know, you have to have somebody to impose how this works. But if that's going to happen, the only way we're going to get those things is if the masses actually start to adopt our issues and start to make it into a real movement. If that happens, then guess what? The normies are coming to you. The Third Reich was not made out of people that were like disaffected, alienated youth entirely. Now, some of those people were in the SA, of course, but I'm talking about like the average party member was a normie. It was a German normie of the time, you know. And if they just reject it and be like, "No, bro, this is a cool kids club, and we're saying fuck the man, and you can't come in," like, then they wouldn't have gotten anywhere, and nobody would know about these people, and there wouldn't be some movement to kind of assess what they did and figure out how that applies to our similar problems.
I totally agree. It's kind of like arguing with a kid, you know, who declares himself the king. You don't capitulate. You don't go, "Oh, well, I guess you can have ice cream for dinner then." You know, you just go, okay, yeah, yeah, absolutely, son. You're the king now. Go outside and, you know, we'll call you when dinner's ready, you know, or whatever. Yeah,
do whatever you want.
Just get the fuck out of here. Yeah, exactly. Or that's just how my parents talk to me.
Right. I'm sure they did, actually. But it's okay, so the
audience has questions, man. Look, we got to get to what's really important here, and it's not trogs. It's what's the difference between calzone and stromboli?
I don't know. I've only had calzone. I don't think I've ever had stromboli.
Are you sure of that? Because they could be the same fucking thing. That's what I'm thinking.
It might be. I think you have to ask GPT to have it explained. Someone
here's got
to
know this. G-Man, are you here? G-Man, can we get Italian in on this? Is there somebody?
Yeah, we need some Italian consultation.
We want to know what's the difference between a calzone and a stromboli.
I think somebody's a stromboli is smaller, for one thing.
I'm not trying to trigger Nick. I'm trying to. We're trying to bring him back down. We're trying to get. He's had that. He's gotten that good, man. No, it's just it's such a wasted show if we just talk about trogs because we're both way deeper than that. Nerdy says it's the sauce. That's a great answer. I wouldn't have even thought about it. Calzone is folded over and a stromboli is rolled up, says Fashbird. This is the kind I told you're going to learn something here tonight. We are. Oh, and by the way, Mr. White Tuber is not white. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Hey, yeah. You know what I'm doing tomorrow? I'm releasing a movie tomorrow. Are you going live tonight? I interject with my own question.
I didn't plan to. I plan to just take it off.
Okay.
Like Odyssey becomes gobbled up when they're on their nights, so I just let them have it. You know, I don't know, man. I think like, can we really rebuild this thing? Like, is this ever going to be like a real scene?
For the community,
a proper thing. I hope so. But.
It's I got a feeling that I mean things. If you just look at like accretion theory and all that kind of stuff, eventually things will tend to coalesce together. Things of the same. Vibration. So yeah, in theory, yes. But as long as people actively try to bust it apart, and nobody resists that, then they're probably going to be successful. Right? As long as we keep acting like we're not in a war while the other side keeps acting like you're not going to get away from me, motherfucker. Yeah, then we're going to lose, right? Whether that's the community or the race or whatever. Right?
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. It's how do we make them take it more seriously, though? I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, there's a lot of people who they just don't want to, like, they want to have it both ways, right? They want results, but they don't want to take it seriously. It's like, well, they're like, we want to make jokes, bro. Jokes are so funny. Jokes win the day. Everybody laughs at jokes. It's like, okay, well, great. But, like, you can't be only jokes, bro. Like, if you're doing jokes, like, that's, you're not...
If I was Napoleon, I would put those people on the front lines. Those are called frontliners. We put them on the front line, and they go in first.
Oh, right? A bullet sponge.
That's right.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yep.
Hey, G-Man,
it's not that we don't need them. We just don't need them thinking. Right. Yeah. So go ahead. Get out there and keep pumping weights, guys. Get out there, eat them steroids, and pump that fucking iron. We need you nice and beefy. You're frontliners.
Yeah, for sure. G-Man said calzone is a pie flopped over once. Stromboli is a roll. There you go.
So roll theory is that works. Fashbird,
there you go.
You're going to have Fashbird on the show. She's going to be on one of these big brain shows coming up. And
nice.
Yeah, as far as I know, maybe first, definitely first flood show. It'd be great to talk to Fashbird, and we got a lot of people coming up too.
She has a bunch of good like Odyssey channels. Yeah.
Yes, Ava Wolf, The Good War. Well, some of them have been banned, though. And also Fashbird, right? She probably tell you if you have white pill chat up, she can. She's got a lot of channels.
She doesn't run that Slam Dursik's channel or whatever, right? Because that's a fucking banger.
Could be. She sent me a list of links one time. I'm like, yeah, what are your channels? And there's like this massive pile of links, and I was like, wow, you got a lot of channels. I was impressed.
Holy shit. Yeah, man. Maybe that's a way though. In terms of like building a bigger platform, is just, you know, posting other stuff that you didn't make, but stuff that's like, you know, great documentaries, films, clips, whatever.
Yeah, curators, right? They're not necessarily creators, but they're curators. And look at Walter Mauser's account on Odyssey, one of the best accounts on Odyssey. Hundreds, if not thousands, of audiobooks, things that are very difficult to find. Same kind of thing Fashbird does is a kind of archives and collects, you know, not necessarily propaganda, but just stuff, material, you know, from back then, from back in the day, and whether it's film or, you know, footage or articles or whatever. Got a great Substack, by the way. Have you ever thought about doing a Substack, or are you pretty stretched thin already?
I have. And I think that's why I'm starting to think about just doing like 4 shows a week and spending the rest of the time trying to build something like that. And Substack is definitely probably what I'm going to aim for. I actually used to do some writing before I started doing the podcasting thing, but I got way out of practice. And I've got some ideas. I just got to get down to it. You know, it's you know what it's like. There's a lot of work that goes into that.
Yes. Yeah. Production's my biggest roadblock is just the workload. A lot of us are doing this solo. We don't have, I don't have a dozen people making clips for me or pulling content for me. AI's not quite there yet. And I still have to turn on my own computer and you know what I mean? Like, so there are people that will just naturally have advantages, you know, over the single creator, but at the same time, like all of the best shit came from single creators that obsessively put time into single projects that were at the time, probably not really worth it, but in the long run, you know, you kind of talked about that earlier. What happens if this whole thing falls apart and all this work was put into it and you know, you just end up an old man with no friends and maybe a rap sheet or a record. You know, that's exactly why I make content first, right? Like streaming is like a side thing and content is what counts, right? Like I got books that'll be out there forever. I got things that will be out there as long as there's an internet. Those things will be passed around. I think, and in some cases it's not going to be up to me maybe, but that's the best I could do at the time, right? Is if you want to make something permanent, make some content, make an audiobook, make something that'll stick around after you're gone, you know, because we might not be here. We're here by the grace of the audience, and if the audience don't want us here, we won't be here for long, you know.
Yeah, on that note, donate some shit to Flood, will you? I mean, come on, Christ's sake, bro.
I got 10 bucks from G-Man. He's balling. It's Wednesday. Is it Wednesday, Thursday? It's kind of Thursday. You know, actually, I kind of expect the middle of the weekdays to be L's, and I don't ever get mad if we do bad shows on a weekday, just because that just seems to be kind of the pulse of things lately.
Well, I mean, all the shows
Fridays and Saturdays really important recently. Yeah, yeah. No, everything's been down. Numbers down. Everything's crazy.
Well, the upside is like apparently this whole scene has just moved from platform to platform, and you know, there's been other times where it existed on other platforms and it gets blown out and it moves to another one. But I have to wonder, like, how many of these times are they blown out by like the ADL or whatever, and how many of these times are they just blown up by fucking retards who can't control themselves and just have to like that, you know. Saying nigger eventually becomes not enough for them and they have to like straight up Fed post and be like, I'll kill you. It's like, you know, calm down, dude. You're not going to do shit. Like, get over yourself.
I think Pierce addressed them, you know, pretty aptly. I mean, he said, look, these people are fucking undesirables. Like, we don't want them. Yeah. You know, we don't want those people. And if they go out and make their own thing, all the better for us.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
So have fun at fucking D-Live. Exactly.
Hobbyists, he called them.
Hobbyists, thank you. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. If they were. Yeah, they were.
It's funny when it comes to somebody like Pierce, like they will hardcore pick and choose with that sort of thing, right? Like they'll blow that off and pretend like the people that he's talking about in that, those kind of people are very much still around, if not even more of them. And the people that applies to will totally pretend that doesn't apply to them. They'll find some way to duck it and be like, oh yeah, those people. It's like, dude, that's you. That's what you're doing.
But it's not authoritative. It's not credible. But I've said simply that some of the groups around now have brought down the standard of conduct for white nationalists and nationwide. Now white nationalists are acting in a more juvenile, stupider fucking way than they would have in the past. But you know what? I don't know that because I wasn't around, but it sure to me seems that way.
No, that's 100% correct. That's exactly what happened. And, like, look, we being white people in general, should all be aspiring to make better white people. If you can have kids, have kids. Have as many kids as you can have. You know, I of course, as every time I give that kind of take, it's immediately misunderstood right away by somebody who wants to hear only what they want to hear and what you say, right? If you can have kids, have as many kids as you can afford and properly raise. But at the same time, like, the existing white people need to be brought up to being good white people, too. Like, we can actually influence each other to be better. Like the white people that are already here and already grownups, like we can actually influence each other not to be fucking dirtbags, not to be, you know, niggerish, not to be retarded, not to act like undermining Jews and then cry about Jews. Like you have to pick. If you're gonna complain about Jewry and their behavior, you can't act like them as well. Like you have to be better than them. Otherwise, like you're just a hypocrite, you know? Like, so, you know, we need to encourage our people to be better. We need to set the fucking standard. And it's hard, you know. I'm not perfect. I've made plenty of mistakes in my life. Everybody's made plenty of mistakes. The anon in chat who's like, it's not me. No, it's you too, bud. It's every fucking buddy that's listening. Everybody's made some fucking mistakes. And you're gonna make more. And that's just the way it is. You know, the Christians have a way of them. They call it, say, everybody's a sinner, right? So that, like, that's okay. But it's about aspiring. It's like the same thing with a lot of these other ideals, right? It's a target. Even if it's an unattainable target, just striving towards it gets you better than where you were if you weren't at all. So we need to establish those, because otherwise we don't, man. You know, like,
man, that's a powerful idea. Wow. I think that, like, you're literally worse than Hitler, but like with a little bit of work, you could be better and be like Hitler, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah, for
sure. Right. I'm just agreeing with all the things they say about us. They just happen to be true, you know. No, I totally agree. Right. If you're not in this to improve yourself, you, number one, you have no business trying to improve anybody else, and number two, you're silly to think that you can. Right. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody that's trying to give advice to other people, you shouldn't figure out this is something you need to be working on, right? Like, there's so many different things, like the whole, like, fix myself or self-improvement kind of stuff. Okay, well, like, that's a multifactorial thing, right? Like, that can be, you know, intelligence-wise, education-wise. It can be getting in shape, if that's the thing. It can be getting money together if you're not right in the money way. But there's a million things. Like, there's so many things that can mean. There's always something to be doing. You don't have to do it all. You know, you can do it little by little. I mean, it's the best way to eat an elephant is bite by bite. But this thing where you get these anons in chats that are like, you're not this, or you're not good enough because this, or it's like, dude, stop talking to strangers like you know them. Like, you don't know anything about these people, whether they're streamers or other anons in chat. Just, like, work on your own. Like, if everybody that was trying to do that instead just made themselves better, we'd be full of fucking Chads and Stacys everywhere, like, getting shit done. And we'd be a lot more serious. We'd be a lot more respectable. You know, this is the thing, right? They want to laugh off the term, you know, being serious, right? Like, that's a dumb. Well, if you're serious, if you have a movement of serious people, guess what? That means the enemy fears you. When your movement is full of goofy retards who are drunk fucking clowns, like, burping into the mic, guess what? The enemy not only doesn't fear you, they love you, because you make every white person look like shit. And they know it and they love it. You're not making Jews mad. You're making Jews happy. They love it. You want to, if you want to make them mad, become fucking good. When they look at something like say Patriot Front, like you were playing them earlier. Well, what is it that Rousseau is trying to do? He's not trying to, like, necessarily, like, I'm going to fix the nation, like the country right now. He's like, no, I'm going to fix the men. I'm going to get the men into men shape. I'm going to, you know, mentally, physically, everything. Right. Like, that's a great start. If we had a bunch of people like that, guess what? The enemy would fear us. If our people are fucking all whack, if they're drunk retards or shit, if they're out of shape and fat, like, that's not good either. Like, you know, you got to work on that. I'm on a no carb diet. So here you go, Trogs. You can jerk yourself off with that. Congratulations. I'm sure you'll fap yourself off with that. But, you know, like, look, there's always something to improve, but what is it? There's like, I think it's both a Christian and a Buddhist thing. That's like, when you're pointing out the log jam in your brother's eye, no, wait, you're pointing out the splinter in your brother's eye, there's a log jam in your own. Like, meaning that, like, you know, when you're trying to point out what's wrong with other people, there's more shit that's wrong with you that you should be focused on, right? So, I think that kind of moral, I think, might be a great thing to encourage in this whole scene. Because people would start kind of re-evaluating what they're focused on, start focusing on things that might actually improve our situation.
That's pretty awesome. So, yeah, you know, this is exactly the kind of stuff that I like to get when I talk to guys, especially guys that are streamers, guys that are doing the same thing that I'm doing. You know, always try to, like, if there's a person that's got experience right next to you, you can learn from their experience just by, like, listening to them, you know, having constructive conversations instead of, like, hey, fuck you, I do things different, you're not even white. You know what I mean? And So, like, why wouldn't you? Why would you not benefit from the lifetimes of experience of the people around you? You know, and just swallow a little pride, maybe. And you know, you don't have to believe everything you hear. You know, if somebody tells you some bullshit, just tell them thank you and, you know, move on. There's really no need to sit and fight about shit all the time. You know, some people said that this show's not very controversial, which I thought was kind of weird because this is the first episode of them. And you know what I told them? I said, yes, it is. And yeah, I was right.
I guess it depends on your perspective, I guess, right?
Nope. See, yeah. I told you guys, I told you this was a controversial show. It's high, man. Surprised we're not just backing in.
If you're in our thing, it takes a lot to shock you. If you're an average American, we'll go back to that for a minute. If you're an average American and you saw this show or my show, you'd be like, holy shit, that shit is so radical. Like, you know, people in there, I think that like my show or Red Ice or something or whatever, it's like, you know, Mild or Tim for that matter. But really, like, if you showed these shows to most average people out there in like normie land, they would be shocked. Like, I think it's like the people.
Stromboli is fucking rolled up and fucking calzone is just flipped. I told you. No,
calzone's on the brain, bro.
That's right. It's hard hitting shit. Radical stuff here, folks. I'm a hate groomer. I don't know if you read the SPLC lately, but
said you're a hate groomer.
Yeah, they call me a hate groomer. Some stupid think tank, and I don't even know some. Some extra governmental, probably not even, you know, from America think tank wrote up a fucking hit piece on me and said, hate groomer. I thought, you know, dude, I don't even talk to kids on this show. It's crazy.
that's great. There's
I make deep fakes that make, you know, they're funny. You know, they say nigger and Jew, you know, but, you know, I mean, I get that they're kind of low brow, but hate grooming. That's a little strong.
When's the Olympia movie going to come out?
Tomorrow at 8 p.m. In fact, we're going to be debuting Olympia tomorrow night, Fear Friday, 8 p.m. Full run movie, an hour and 45 minutes, and the spiritual successor to The Real Nazis that I made last year.
Nice. Yeah. I want to know, I mean, will there be hand checks and ham soup, though? That's the critical question.
I can't afford that shit, man. You know, it's if you guys bring your own ham soup, though, I'll have some. it's kind of an accomplishment, and I'm kind of being low key about it, but it's something I've wanted to do for a long time. And I actually, it took me about 6 months after Washington Post got me banned from 11 Labs. That was the only place I could do this kind of work, and it took about 6 months to find an alternative way. And and we did a couple of weeks ago, kind of had a breakthrough moment, found a way to do voice to voice voice changing, you know. And now I got my second movie done, or my third movie, actually, because there was another movie. Up Out of Africa was a movie. So I'm on my third or fourth movie already. I don't listen to people when they say shit about me.
If you made another account and you just made it on the, like, a name like Drought or something, like, how do they even know it's you?
I don't know that they would, except that they told me that they would. Like Odyssey, when they sent me the letter, they said, don't bother trying to make a new account. We all know that it's you. And I just thought, that's a weird thing to say. Just say I'm banned, you know?
It's funny because they know their user base very well, don't they?
I think that's what it is. That's just really, really common on Odyssey. So look, Odyssey is, I mean, I kind of take the L because I got banned and it was a huge part of my revenue. But that said, Odyssey's the loser. I mean, Odyssey's the one that really takes the L in the long term.
Oh, it's pretty much cooked at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did it to themselves. I mean, if you really think about it, like, they let the shit, the retarded shit, go on way too long. They didn't just shut it down. They didn't have to ban any of those fucking retards. They could have just told them to shut the fuck up. And when they didn't shut the fuck up, they could have just given them timeouts until they shut the fuck up. Like little children, because you're going to behave like children, you get treated like them. But they didn't do that. You know, they let it boil and boil until it got so insane that eventually they just had to pull the plug on them entirely. And then, you know, there was a cascade of revenge that these people and their fan base took out until they just destroyed the whole fucking platform, dude. And, you know, now they've moved on to fucking Rumble, and they'll probably destroy that too. And it's the same group of people. They've moved from YouTube to DLive to Odyssey to now Rumble, and they'll fuck all those up, just like they have so far.
That's funny, because that's what That's what they've been accused of doing forever. I used to defend them against those accusations. These guys just go out everywhere they go, shit gets fucked. And, you know, I was like, fuck you, man. You're, you know, what are you doing? These guys are, and now I'm group A, you know? I think everywhere you go, you just go to fuck it up. Because that's what it does, right? You can't argue with the results.
Yeah, well, that's it, right? Like, ultimately, the results will speak for themselves as to that. And if it's a clear pattern, I mean, if it's everywhere this particular clique of people go, and it's actually now more than one clique that's doing this now. It's like, you know, like, look, if people are going to just make the platform fucking glow and turn insane until it breaks, well, you know, then it means you're going to have nowhere to ever talk about these ideas. And it's not unreasonable that people start to ask questions about these kind of groups of individuals, these kind of cliques, if they're doing that kind of thing and behaving in such a way that causes all pro-white free speech environments to be shut down. It's not unreasonable for people to start asking, like, is this an Fed thing? Is this a Jew thing? Is this a, that's a very reasonable conclusion to come to, you know? So they're not doing anything properly to dispel those kind of accusations when they just keep doing the same shit, even when it keeps having those results. Hey man, you know the clip I made of Ham Soup thing? What do you think about showing like a teaser or something? I gotta hit the bathroom real quick. I lost Flood. He's dead. He's dead. Send help. He's stuck on mute. Send help. You know,
yeah, I was muted. Yeah, no, go ahead and take a break. I've got just the thing. As a matter of fact, the guy that was talking a whole bunch of shit about us a couple days ago has actually done a promo for me, and I think that you're all going to love it. It's fantastic.
Thanks. Well, that's nice of him.
Yeah, so we have a couple minutes. You want to take a restroom break? All right, I'm going to mute this out, and then when you come back, your mic will be hot, and I will be muted.
Nice.
Fantastic. All right, now we're here, and don't got to ask me twice.
I'm not really sure why they did this ceremony. Perhaps it was to simulate jumping across a river with the bridge blown up. And these Japs are incredible leapers, even though the top half of their body is longer than the bottom half. It's as though they know some sort of ancient Oriental religion. This man here is casting spells on the entire crowd, and well, he tried a karate chop there. Did you see it, folks? Did you see him try to karate chop those people? Amazing. Japan was truly evil. And now we know why. They attacked Pearl Harbor. And also why they cornered the electronics market in the 80s and make better cars than Canada.
Hi there. This is Fran Shanklin, and I'm here to tell you, though you dare fucking miss the world debut of Olympia by Flood tomorrow for Pure Friday. Flood, the absolute master of deepfakes and NS propaganda, has created a true masterpiece in his retelling of the story of the most evil civilization on Earth. That's right, Nazi Germany. In 1936, during the height of the German Reich, Adolf Hitler set about a truly evil plan to infect the world with white supremacy, Nazism, and pure true fear. This is a unique and historic opportunity to catch a glimpse of the very moment that every German became the true embodiment of evil. Shown for the first time in its entirety, Olympia debuts Friday, March 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on whitepill.tv and my favorite site, ftjmedia.com, and you don't want to miss it. So fuck Handsome Truth, fuck your Friday evening plans. There is literally nothing better than Flood's Olympia on a fantastic Fear Friday installment of the Doom Depot, a show which has personally given me a reason to live, and dare I say hope, that we may all strive to reach the pinnacle of racial introspection and mastery that only Flood has achieved. He truly makes me look like a complete novice in the field of white culture creation. It's fucking shit, man.
Wow, Ben, that's incredible, and I didn't know you felt that way. You know, just it takes time, but you'll get there. And
you shouldn't have a mortgage if you're white power.
Wow, what was that, Ben?
Childless, grown-ass men don't get to fucking click up and be tough guys, okay?
I disagree, Ben. I don't think that's true. Wow. I can't believe he said that.
Hello out there, everybody. I am Ben Tanklin, and I wanted to tell you that Flood is the baddest motherfucker to ever walk the earth. His deepfakes, promos, and audiobooks are way more, even individually, than I've ever done in my life. I call myself pro-white, but Flood demonstrates that fucking shit every fucking day. He's way better than Unruled or Gulag at everything he does, and I've never seen a harder working man for the cause. He makes me look like a silly drunk faggot, and I am utterly snake shit beneath his boots. He toys with me like I'm his plaything. His every thought, my words. I haven't had anyone this deep in my ass since I donated to Tuber and Sayin for doxing and harassing white nationalists. Wow. Fuck. I can't even fucking believe it.
We've got echo. We're gonna let this echo play out here, folks. And then we're gonna be back with Nick in 10, 9. Okay, I'm back from an alternate dimension in which you control the media and the government. And are you there, Nick? Can you hear us?
Whoa. That's amazing. A scary.
Are we getting the death echo?
Death echo? Shouldn't be.
Okay, good.
Okay, we're good. So, I didn't know he felt that way. Wow.
You know, it's a controversial show, you know? And some would say that it's not controversial, but I would disagree.
You know, the amount of work you put out, Flood, is actually really fucking impressive. I don't know how you find the time, dude. Like that's where the whole like flood meth joke comes. Like, where did you fucking find the time?
I'm a very committed individual when I get my mindset on something.
Absolutely. I want to start a new project. I want to do one that's like exclusively pro-white. Like, it's not about criticizing, you know, these other fucking groups that are annoying and shitty and destructive to us, but it's more about like, what is it that we want to see? Like, I want to try to do that. I think I can do it. I kind of picture it in my head. I started working on it today, but it's going to be kind of, hopefully it'll be sort of a little bit like your ham soup kind of thing, like where it's got a, you know, it's almost like a little movie. I don't know if it'll be as long as all that. I mean, it seems like it took you a long time to make that, but in that kind of vein, right, where it's some kind of special production.
I don't mind putting time into something. I'll usually put more time into figuring out how to do it in less time than I will actually in doing the actual work. Like this time it took me months to find a way to do the voice work here. Once I found it, it took maybe 6 hours total work to make the movie, a 2 hour movie, almost 2 hours. It actually is way faster than most of my normal content. So, but that's the whole thing of this. That's kind of been one of my missions, is not just to make deepfakes and stuff, but to find a way to do it open source, to find a way to do it and not empower the Jew by giving them your money, and then finding a way to do it efficiently open source. Because we do live in a time where you can do the work of an entire television studio in your bedroom by yourself if you're committed and you know how to do it.
Absolutely. That's the blessing, right? Like, we complain about all these problems, and they are real fucking problems, is no doubt. But, you know, we do have a lot of blessings like that, too, where we're just lucky that we're in that position. We can actually kind of fight back in this way. I do think that no matter how we want to slice it, we are in a mind war. You know, we're in a war where, like, they're trying to win the minds of the masses.
Jokes on them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to win.
Yeah. No, I believe that. I feel it. I feel it. And, and again, it's not the thing that I need to think about, right? It's not necessarily an emotion either. It's just there's a spirit within you that knows what's going to happen. that knows that you're going to win, that knows that you can, and knows that you have either the drive or the people, or you know what I mean, that you can estimate the situation and realize that the ingredients are here now to be victorious. And is the will there, right? That's the question. And VSOF hit that on the head earlier. Is the will there to do what needs to be done? And that doesn't necessarily mean going and doing crazy shit, but it's a matter of will. That's the fact.
Yeah.
I am almost pure will. Like when I want to do something, I cannot be stopped.
Well, that's the thing, right? That's the white way.
That's exactly right. That's the white way, 100%. And it seems simple, and I know it sounds stupid to some people, but that's you know, you talked about intuition. You talked about you know, sort of almost like visualization and shit earlier. I would tell you, like a couple years ago when I started out doing this, I made a specific intention to do it that way, to do it as a matter of simply willpower and determination, and I didn't think about how.
I would tell you, like a couple years ago when I started out doing this, I made. Well, I think I lost you. You're muted.
Oh, I didn't think about the details of how this was all going to work out. I just saw it working out, and I've just applied my will, and quite a bit of time ever since then. Nothing happens on its own. You still have to do the work. You still have to make the motions, but you don't have to know how everything is going to go. You can go with some degree of faith into the darkness and be fine, right? And the more that you do it, the more will you'll develop, the more you'll develop a knowing that you can do it. And that's where the power really starts coming. But you don't have to know how everything's gonna that's go. When you start to realize the real nature of yourself as a being of will. Fine, right?
And the more that you do it, the more will. How do people find that if they don't already have it?
Probably by accident. I mean, I had the intention to try it and see, and maybe I didn't even think at the time that it would work, but it did. And since then, things have held together, right? Like, things aren't always perfect. And that's why I don't, you know, I don't obsess on what's the perfect picture of things. I obsess on the main point. If, whether that's to be a streamer, to be a propagandist, to be effective against, you know, the people that are lying to us, or to use their own technology that they use to lie, to expose their lies. That was as far as I took it. And the rest has just been a matter of knowing that that's what I'm going to do. And that's what I've done.
Well, you got a whole roster. You got a whole resume of hit pieces from the enemy saying, look at this evil, evil, bad man.
Yeah. It's kind of abnormal to get press as an anon. I don't think they normally talk about anons for that very reason, because it tends to give them more attention. But they got pretty mad at the Mein Kampf thing, right? And yeah, I can't take credit for the Hitler speech phenomenon that's going on, but I was doing that about a year and a half ago, long time before other people were, before TikTok had a big boom of it. We were doing Hitler translations too, and just using AI in general to make things entertaining and interesting. That's what I wanted to do with Mein Kampf. I'm not out to deceive anybody. I don't want anybody to think that you know that really happened, or you know that Sean Hannity's really a Nazi, because he's fucking not. But right. It was just fun characters to do at the time, and I think that's what came through. Like people liked it, they laughed at it, and they thought it was funny. And over time, I stopped making that shit, but I still intend to, and I still can. I just you started getting more serious in your work, right? Like I'm going to do audiobooks and deep fakes. And now I'm going to be a streamer now I don't have time for any of that shit, man. I'm burned out and exhausted, but I've never loved what I was doing more than I do now. And that joy,
that's good.
I can't do this forever or until I die soon.
don't die soon, man. That'd be
hey, it's not up to me, man. That's right.
Well, you know, your new movie, I'm sure, is going to be a banger. And, you know, you get back to your roots.
Yeah. That's what this is, right? Like, this is an awakening. And on every level, this is us coming back to who we really are and coming back to that natural law that we were talking about. We're as much a part of that law as it is a part of our reality. So the things aren't mutually exclusive. You're the embodiment of natural law. You have to be. Why wouldn't you be? You know, this is where I kind of see CI has a little bit of credibility, you know, but at the same time, I wouldn't take it as far as to make a religious dogma out of it, like, because that's disrespectful to the process, right? This is a process of discovery, and you're constantly discovering more about yourself and all of the fucking faggots around you.
Well, you know, you certainly found out like who your friends are in the last few months.
I have. And you know what? I've got probably, I could count them on two hands, but I have two hands worth of friends that I didn't have before. And I'm damn glad to have them. Real friends. Yeah, that I know that I can count on.
That's an upside, though, you know, because you never really know until it's tested, right? And it's never tested until anything gets bad. If things don't ever get messed up, then you don't ever know.
You know? That's right. Failing is how you succeed, right? Like, you learn how not to do things. That's a fact. It's not just a crazy conundrum. It's a reality. It's one of those universal laws we were probably talking about, natural law.
Yeah.
What do you think? I know that you're kind of up in the air, and you've kind of expressed a couple of times that maybe you're not really sure what direction you want to go in. And that kind of fucks up my kind of segue out. But what do you kind of see in the near future? What kind of things would you like to do? What kind of things would you be interested in working on? Any collabs, strike your fancy as something you'd like to try? Or, you know, just kind of what does Nick want to do next?
I want to work on some like real productions. I wanted to work on a documentary. So Johannes Borjak there, he was talking about doing one for South Africa from their perspective, and something like that, you know, something that has sort of a lasting value and hasn't been done, or has been done but not been done right. And I think I could do it. I really think I could do something like that. It's a matter of, I'd have to fucking find the money to go fly over there and do all this. And plus, I have to get shot up by crazy niggers in South Africa. So
that would be kind of an adventure, wouldn't it? I mean, wow. It would be cool. I hope that it works. I mean, I hope that you get the opportunity to do it. I know that, you know, things do ebb and flow, and I think that things will come back around. And you just if you stay the course, stay focused on what you're here to do, when you'll find yourself in that channel, in that groove where this shit just becomes automatic, and man, everything just starts to click like that. And that really is, I think, the state that we're naturally normally in, until we start talking ourselves out of it. We start thinking ourselves out of it. We start letting insecurity get the better of us, when we need to learn faith. We need to learn to trust in who we are and who made us and why we're here. And once the more you experience that, the more you'll come to know it as reality itself. And then pretty soon you'll realize that there's nothing supernatural. It's just that you didn't notice that shit before, right?
Mm.
Like I did a practice on this, and if you try this, you will believe me. But most people, in fact, zero people will try this. But if you get a notebook and a pencil, and you begin to write down these synchronistic events, and you say, you know, like I say pineapple, later today somebody asks you something about a pineapple, you notice that, you know, that I mentioned that earlier today. Those little things, they're synchronistic. Start write those things down when they happen, right? And they seem like a rare thing, like, hey, I was just thinking about you, but you called me, you know, while I was thinking about calling you. Write those things down, and if you start to write those down every time they happen, and you really, really are disciplined about it and committed to doing it, within 6 months, all you will have time to do is write in your book. You will realize that every fucking thing that's happening, not just to you, but all around the world, are those synchronistic events, those perfect things that couldn't have possibly happened. That is what's happening, and that's all that's happening. And you talk about changing your outlook on things, it'll blow your fucking mind.
I don't know, sir. It sounds a little bit like Kabbalah wizardry to me.
It's not something to believe. It's, you know what? If I would never ask you to believe it, because it's not believable, but you can know it.
I was just fucking with you, Flood. I know exactly what you're talking about, for sure. Mm-hmm. There's a way that can happen, where you can get in the sort of such a flow, I guess, or a state, or I don't know how to characterize it, but you do. And where it's like all day, it's just, you're seeing nothing but like nonstop coincidences or synchronicities where just these elements are lining up
perfectly. That's exactly right. And then the crazy thing is that that's not a thing that you it's not like a thing that you can get into. It's the thing that you're actually in already, and you're mm-hmm. and already yeah. happening. Yeah, totally, totally. And the more that
being aware of it or not,
knowing, yeah, the more you know that, the more powerful you become, and the more your will can achieve anything. Little ancient Chinese secret.
Ancient Chinese wisdom. What do you think you're going to do? What's next for Flood?
Homelessness.
No.
No, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
The donuts on the stream, you're probably right.
I was going to consciously think about it. Like, that's the thing. Like, life is scary, and if you think about where you're headed or the trajectory you're on, things are looking pretty bleak, right? Mm. But it's, you know, miracles are a real thing, right? And so you learn to lean on your faith, you know? I get stressed. I get worried about, you know, when things aren't good or, you know, when things aren't adding up. And Lord knows there's been plenty of stress going around. But I just have a kind of this fundamental belief that things are going to be all right, or at the very least, they'll be the way they're supposed to be.
Mm.
And that could just be cope, you know, I realize that, but that's what I got.
No, I know what you mean, man. Sometimes it does seem doomed, or like really does seem like it's not going to work out. And then you make it out again and again and again and again and again. Eventually you just mm-hmm. find the faith that it's going to just be that way.
Yeah, that's the same with 109 and 110, right? Like, what if there's any evidence that things will just happen naturally? There's no more well-established pattern than that one, right? Like, that's happened 109 times. To think that, you know, that's not going to happen again is almost, to me, kind of silly. But also the idea that you can make that happen is kind of silly too. Like, in a way, you're kind of just along for the ride, but you should still continue every day to engage in doing the right thing, right? Because otherwise, why would you deserve anything good to happen?
Yeah, I can see that. I kind of know what you mean, though. Like, stuff like that, for example. I mean, it's clearly happening because of forces that are bigger than the individual.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, the noticing, you can neither start it nor stop it. You know what I mean? But you can damn sure alienate all your friends for not doing the starting or stopping, right? Yeah, that seems to be what we mostly do. But no, it's on a train. It's going down the hill now. We see the momentum. It seems like 110's right around the corner, or the, you know, the Samson option, you know, which they've tried to put that out there as like, that's their plan B. But we don't have control over any of that. The only thing that I can control is did I do my best today to fight the powers that are trying to oppress me and mine in the most effective way that I can. And that's, I can solidly say yes most of the time on that. They may seem stupid, but somehow they're going to work.
What drives you, Flood? What drives you?
You do? And the chat and the people that I've met doing this. I started this, it was for HT, and it was for, you know, the cause and all this other shit and all this politics. But really, at the end of the day, why do I still do this when all that other shit is gone, long after it's long gone? And it's because of you, and it's because of all the people in the chat. And the friends that I've met, like that's why I do this.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer. That's a good answer. It started based on things, different things for me, like fear, you know, fear of the non-white future, I guess, the future with none of our people in it, or a subjugated version of our people. South Africa is a good example. Like that horrible nightmare could be real. It's not a fucking like fever dream from hell. It's a real problem and threat. But ultimately, you know, nobody fights a war for the politicians or the generals. They fight the war for their brothers next to them in the foxhole.
Yeah, at the end, very much so. Yeah. Very much so. I don't have kids. I've never been married, but people I know do. And I know a lot of great people that have kids that, you know, want their kids to have a future, you know, and want their kids to have a safe place to grow up. And I think that'd also be awesome if those kids had a chance to experience the country that I got to experience when I was growing up, because it wasn't that bad. It was kind of cool. You know, in the 90s, we weren't too far gone. You know, we were pretty far down the rabbit hole by then anyway, but we still had fun. We still had white cities, white neighborhoods, white kids to play with. There weren't drive-bys shootings or people raping people or any of that kind of shit where I grew up and when. I think that kids today deserve that experience.
I think so,
I don't have nothing better to do, so, you know, I'd like to help them have that experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you think about the idea of building political power by building a new social scene that people can actually engage with that kind of is based on something else, but has the political power as an underlying thing? So for example, like, you know, IRL events where, you know, men and women can get together, for example, like there used to be community parties and stuff like this. Shit, even in the 90s, I remember going to block parties as a kid. You ever been to one of those in the last decade? I haven't. It disappeared. Stuff like that just kind of went away. But I think, you know, you could have like real life things that people interact with each other in real life and have a real tangible, authentic experience. But the underlying thing is, it has those political undertones, but it's not like a big, like, fuck Jews banner in the front of it, you know?
Totally. Right. I think that there should be. I mean, there should be a movement that's totally pro-white. It totally makes sense that there would be a pro-white movement that didn't necessarily have to be anti-Semitic, you know? I mean, I do think that anyone that understands Jews would naturally become anti-Semitic. So I don't really think that there's no conundrum in that. But I do know, people that are very pro-white that are not particularly anti-Semites.
Yeah.
They don't like niggers very much. But you see what I'm saying? Like, not everything is too conditional.
I get what you're saying, though. I mean, kind of trying to look at that, too, is like, what is a way to make things that are a little bit more explicitly pro-white with a little less focus on our enemies, you know, because we all tend to do that. I do it. Everybody does it. This sort of hyper focus on our problems. And it's very hard to be pro-white without being concerned with the Jew question or the Negro question, because that's where the problems are coming from. So it's very hard to like ignore that. But at the same time, like, I want to try to, that's kind of a via negativa approach, right? It's talking about things in like, okay, well, how could we make things better by removing this or that? Instead, I think you could have a via positiva approach where you're thinking about, okay, well, what do we need to add to make things better? And I think that that's kind of an underplayed angle, you know? I don't see too many people doing that. In fact, it's harder. It's a lot harder.
Oh, way, way underplayed. Totally. In fact, what happens if you find out that if you did have a completely pro-white community, that Jews would want no part of it? They wouldn't be there, right? That the Jews that you have are the cause and the symptom of the degeneracy and the falling away from natural law. I think that fits the model better than most models, most theories.
Yeah. What would we do with
why would Jews want to be here? Yeah, if we were pro-white and we were like uncorruptible and we couldn't be bribed and we didn't like to rape people and we didn't want to enslave people and we just wanted to live our lives and keep keep people out, then we wouldn't have Jews, you know. But as long as people can be bought and as long as people can be corrupted, then we're going to have the Jews we deserve to a degree.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, look at this. We can't even do like a white nationalist thing without getting like fucking Mischlings and conversos and all sorts of retards that fall for their bullshit and being involved. Like, you know, I think we got, I don't know. Maybe if we went the via positiva way, they would just kind of check themselves out, because I wouldn't register with them. Like, if you just up the, this is what I tried to do, right? I tried to just try to see if I could focus on things that were a little bit more high IQ. And just by that measure, they just drive themselves out because they find it boring. You know, higher IQ stuff to very low IQ people sounds boring. It's like, oh god, I'm so bored. It's like, yeah, because you're like 90 IQ, and we're talking about something that takes a 120 IQ to process properly. So no wonder you're bored. And the other, right. That's kind of been a good filtering mechanism.
Or the only way I can affect the world is to make people mad by trolling them. That's the only way you can affect the world. I could kind of see that mentality. I can't relate to it that much. No, I do agree that if you took the positive approach, like look at Asha Logos, right? He's a positive, he's a white positive creator. He's not really involved in politics too much, even though he's got opinions and he states them from time to time. His creations are beautiful works of Aryan art that express the beauty of Aryan art, you know, which in his own way, he's got an alchemical formula covered, but I'm not going to get into all that Gnosticism and Kabbalah.
Kabbalah wizardry? Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm not going to sprinkle any powder on anybody. But he is making the symbols of the thing that he is and the thing that he wants there to be more of in the world. And because he's doing that, it's very powerful stuff. And it's the kind of stuff that heals people when they watch it. And it's the kind of stuff that inspires people. And I'm inspired to make things like him, too. But I'm just not that talented. Or
no, that not at all. That's what I was gonna say. I was saying I could see like a flood version of that kind of stuff for sure. I absolutely could. I think you could do it.
Maybe eventually, you know, I'd love to give it a try. You know, but small things, little things at a time. You know, there's always potential that amazing and incredible things can happen. You know, so I never rule anything out. And Lord willing, if I'm still doing this in 5 years. Hopefully I'll be in a place or have been in a place where I could try to do some stuff like that. I would love to leave something that people like you, like something that people can reference later, you know, something that nobody's ever going to say, hey, go check out Flood Stream number 456, right? They're going to go say, have you seen Defiant? Have you seen Asha Logos' series on, you know, our hidden history? To put out something like that, that people would reference eventually, that would become like a, like the word on stuff, that'd be awesome. That'd be a real honor at some point.
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly what you mean. That's kind of what I'm hoping to get into more of as well. One thing he does very well is he's able to point out these issues, even the Jew thing, and get away with it on fucking YouTube. Because he doesn't say the word. He just shows you a bunch of fucking pictures of them. And like, you know, you'd have to be like, I don't know, like a retard to not be able to put it together what he's talking about. So, I mean, that's a really good tactic. I've always appreciated that. I think it's like, it's its own sort of form of Jew naming in a way. It's just not screaming about it like a retard. It's just like, look at this. Here it is. Look at all these Jews. There was another one I found recently called Banned History. Same thing. He was talking about the invasion of these Haitians or whatever into Springfield, Illinois. And he did the same thing. He just showed like a fuck ton of like Jewish fuckery. But he wasn't like, look at these, fuck these Jews, I hate Jews. It wasn't like a chimp out. It was just him it was just telling you this is this and this is this and this is this and letting you establish the pattern for yourself. And it's pretty fucking obvious, but it's on YouTube and you get away with it.
Yeah, that's a very high level way of making content and leading people to a conclusion that you don't actually imply yourself. I think that's one of the higher forms of artwork in general is to lead somebody to the point, but they take themselves there, right? You just provide a sort of a path that they can travel and they do the rest, right? Because that's truly the way that things are learned. That's how things are. That's the difference between, you know, someone who's adept at something and someone who's just an initiate, someone who's just a beginner is, you know, you eventually become a trailblazer. And if you don't lead yourself to that, then you don't take the lesson from it. I mean, it's kind of an old school way of thinking, but you have to learn the hard way. I mean, generally speaking.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. And it's fairly simple, but it's not that simple, right? That's the hardest way to do things. So, look, nobody should shy away from the hard way. In fact, you should beg for the hard way, and you should crave it, and you should ask for more, until you're just beat to death, right? Because you're not gonna die. And you're not gonna break the world, right? But if you really wanna take the path, especially of like National Socialism, right? Like you want the hardest way.
Yeah, well, that's it, right? It's you're asking for the harder standard, not the easier standard. We talked about this privately.
That's right.
I think people that gets lost on people a lot. You know, for some reason they think that it's like the easier way, or maybe they don't. I don't know, but they don't seem to recognize that you're asking for a higher standard to live by, not a lower one.
Have you ever met anyone that had life super easy that you ever cared to fucking hang around or talk to? Like, most of those people are insufferable and just, you know, we don't have much in common, and I find them annoying and presumptuous. And I really, really love talking to people that have been through the shit, and they're the salt of the earth people. They're the ones that know what they're talking about. I relate to them more. There's something about, you know, doing it the hard way that's particularly white.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. And, you know, the funny thing about that is, like, there's different challenges and hardships in life. Like, not everybody has the same hardship. You know, for some people, the hardship might be money. For other people, the hardship might be relationships with their family and friends. For some people, the hardships might be health. You know, there's a lot of different ways that, you know, life can become hard on people, and it can build character. And it's not all the same for everybody. And, you know, if you're lucky, you know, God won't give you all of those. If you're lucky, you'll only get one. You know, you'll have one cross there, not three.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I used to, and I still do. I still, there are times when I hate to know this. I hate to be, you know, in this position. Sometimes I kind of hate to know the things I know. And I don't think that's uncommon for anybody. But ultimately, I am thankful for the struggle. I'm thankful for the burdens, and I'm thankful if I can pull this off well, or if I can make a difference to somebody else, then I'm even more grateful for it. You know, whatever this crazy thing is that we're in, you know, like if you're not in it all the way, then, you know, it's not looking good, right? It's not looking good. So bring that shit. Like, bring your fucking worst. Like, they've got are tricks, right? They don't really have power. They have what they stole from you. They have what they made you forget. And then they have tricks. And that's it.
Mm.
What the fuck are they going to do to me? We're the real thing. What are they really going to do to us?
Very true.
I'm forever. You're going to kill me? I just get out of this. I get off this rock, you know? Lucky me.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean. Like, I think there's a thing. I mean, I don't know if you ever had this, but, like, if you've ever had a real near-death experience, your relationship to death entirely changes. You no longer walk around with the, like, dread of, like, oh, God, I might die someday. Like, eventually you know you're going to die, right?
Yeah. And then live forever. I'm not convinced. Like this, one thing I've learned is that there's a massive inversion going on here, and things that look permanent are usually the least fucking permanent, and things that look like they don't matter usually matter the most. And the one thing that you're guaranteed in this world is death. And so I believe the one thing that probably doesn't really exist is death. It's just I'm just inverting it back.
It kind of gives character to our life, though. Like, if you weren't going to die, like, it wouldn't mean as much, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't necessarily think I'll always be here. I may not always have these opportunities in this space. But the idea that I would be invigorated with an immortal soul and then die is just, to me, is kind of silly, you know? The body will die. I know that, but the me, I believe, will go on in whatever form.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think so too. I think that the only thing that dies, like, our body is our shell. Like, it's a spacesuit, basically. Like, you know, it's meant to fall away. The question is what is us? Like, if we're not our body, what is us, right? That's sort of like a philosophical question
there. I think the question's probably more exciting than the answer is. I mean, it's totally shot in the dark, you know, but, like, I think we wouldn't be doing this if the question weren't more exciting than the answer. You know, you're an eternal being, and all you know is eternity. That may get boring. I mean, I don't know. I can only think it with my man mind, you know, my meat mind. But, whatever we're doing, we seem to at least be occupied, you know, even if we're not having fun, but I think we might be having fun too on some level. I try to.
Yeah. I mean, there's that existentialist hippie answer, right? That like you were a God experiencing itself or something.
That's one universalist aspect.
It's obviously it's Gnostic Kabbalism, right? It's obviously.
Well, who says it can't be? That can't be true. And something else can't be true. And something else can't be true. Like a lot of things can be true at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I think we give our lives meaning. Like we choose what our life is about, you know? And it's weird. I don't know if you had this experience too, but I used to get a lot more people like tell me, oh, you know, what you did with this one or something really mattered and it made me see new things. Or you know, I used to get those kind of compliments a lot more, you know, than before the last 6 months. You know, it used to be a lot more common.
A lot lately, I know. I'm just kidding. No, I was told Nick, like Nick's a bit of a mentor, right? Like, and he's naturally does that, right? He's working with other streamers all the time and trying to show them what he's doing. You may not always hear it, right? But it should always be the case that you are having a positive effect on somebody. I don't think you'd have an audience at all if you didn't. Like, I wouldn't watch you if you didn't have a positive effect on me. So yeah, you'll always have that. I may not tell you that all the time though, because I don't want you to get too big ahead, motherfucker.
And well, how you fit the galaxy brain in the small head,
right? I don't need Nick like fucking FUD.
No, man, you teach me shit too, dude. You teach me a lot about the AI stuff. Like, holy crap. You know, I wouldn't even know a lot of this stuff without you.
I see a lot of people are using it now. I don't really take credit for it, but it is nice to see people using this technology in the fight, right? Like, whether that's Jewing faces on Twitter or making songs and videos to uplift people's spirits. Yeah, all those things are necessary. I think diversity of tactics is my way. It's the way I think would work. And so we do need everybody doing everything. And as long as they're doing it for the same reason, we should succeed, right? And if that's for the 14 words, if that's to secure the existence of our people and a future for white children, if that's the reason we all do what we do, then we don't all have to do certain things. We're going to win because we have a unity of purpose.
Absolutely, man. You pioneered that, though. I don't think people even remember at this point. That's how I met you, was through that one of Emma Watson reading it was like your first big one anyway, was reading Mein Kampf. That was massive, dude. That was breakthrough. That was some innovative shit. Nobody was doing that. I saw somebody else do it where they like, they didn't like actually deep fake her or anything. They just like cloned her voice. Basically,
they did the voice, like, did like a paragraph of it. Yeah. Yeah. I remember
exactly,
that one.
Yeah. And I was like, that's cool, but I'd like to see the whole thing. And then like within a week, boom, talking about you know, synchronicities and whatnot, they're like, Flood did the whole thing. I'm like, what the hell? Like, here's the link. We're like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's a banger. I mean, if you've never heard Mein Kampf, if you've never read it, and if you can stand the voice of a female, you know, because apparently that's, you know, that's a thing with some people. You can certainly have someone read it to you, and it's still probably about 20-25 hours long, but Hitler was a very thoughtful person and a very, very visionary man. So the material is chewy, and it may take a couple of times to hear certain things, but Hitler was an extraordinarily intelligent person and probably was the embodiment of a leader and a person. And you know why? Because he loved his people. That's like the one characteristic that really rings through the whole book, despite all of his, you know, tactical and analytical ability. What really comes through is the love he had for Germany. That was the most profound thing, because most of us didn't grow up loving this land. Not really.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, there's always an American patriotism, but it seemed kind of performative in a way, you know?
Definitely. Definitely. Because none of us have really been pressed by tyranny until, you know, really recently. I mean, we've been slowly oppressed, but not like, you know, enemy at the gates type shit. We were always told that was the way things were going to go, right? While they were slowly subverting us.
Yeah, as a what do you call it? Not distraction, but look over here while we do it over there, right? It's
totally.
Yeah. It's bad, man. It's bad. It's undermining is what they do, right? They undermine.
Yeah, because they're, you know, they're weak and they're cowardly. They're obsessed with a victory and they're very cunning and but they're also weak and cowardly when directly confronted. So because of that, they've set up, you know, a lot of traps for anybody that wants to try that route. But I do believe that unity of purpose is the key. If we all have the same goal, then our actions will synchronize and we will force multiply one another. And it's crazy the things that can happen in that situation. But I highly theoretical and rarely tested, right? But the commies have been pretty successful with decentralized resistance. I think we could be as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's been underutilized by our people.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing it, though. We're seeing the beginnings of it. I do wonder what trick they've got in the bag, though, because they're not going to let it go. I mean, there's no way they're going to just let this go. I don't know if it's going to be a World War III or something. I mean, they've already kind of started that in a way. Some people think it's already on. Maybe, mm-hmm. You know, maybe. Well, hard to define, but... That could be it. They have to do something like that, though. They can't. They're not just going to let us, like, pull them over. That ain't going to happen.
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, they'll cheat when you be inclined not to. And that's a, that's kind of a bad thing, too. It's going to take a novel approach, right? But that's what I mean. If that's the problem, right? If you have to pick an approach, they've probably already thought of it. But you don't really have to if everybody just naturally wants to get rid of the Jewish influence in your life and everybody does that in their own way. Like if it's really truly a fundamental belief and goal, then that's what they'll do. And when everybody's done that, the Jew won't have a foothold here. You'll find there are no Jews. They'll have left here by then because they don't stand to gain anything. If there's nothing for them to gain, they're not going to be here.
Very true. Yeah, very true.
They're here because they can take stuff from us. And that's kind of it. I know that we're past 8 o'clock, but I know you're not going live, but I wanted to thank you though for taking a lot of time because I know you've had probably a pretty busy day. You usually are pretty busy. How can people find you? And is there any stuff you want to cover before, you know, we kind of wrap it up?
No, I think we covered a lot, I think.
Right. Right on. Yeah, I think we've gone all over the place. And what do you guys think, man? Do you guys have any questions? I mean, there's been so many smart people have been mentioning stuff in the crowd. A couple of trogs, but less than there used to be. I don't really read them. They don't get any time.
I mean those gloves.
Oh, the question. Oh, yeah, no, the questions. Oh, no, I mean, VSOF has been just like, you know, he's been making good commentary all along the way. And you know, everybody kind of has like an understanding of reality and understanding of what we're up against here and different outlooks and stuff. And generally I think they're all in the same direction. You know, Jews are bad and white people need their own homeland. That's not fucking encumbered by nons and other races. We don't want to be mixed culturally or racially or anything else. And we want our 14 words, right? The 14 words is a great mantra. Stick to it. It's a good plan. When you don't have a plan, that's your plan. And if you do everything in that direction, and we all do it, then victories will come very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I mean, I'm hopeful for the future.
Right.
Maybe not the near future.
But you can't just say that you're anti-Jew and then sit there and attack whites all day, right? I mean, I would think that even those trogs will have noticed eventually that for the last 5 months, they've done absolutely nothing that's pro-white. And therefore... Do you think the movement misses you? Do you think you actually did anything? You didn't. And no, they don't.
It's not only zero, it's negative, right? And they've just literally joined their team. They've joined the Jew team.
Yeah, they've opposed us. They've opposed the right side. Yeah, true. And the ramifications from that will come. Well, they're already there for the most part.
Yeah.
You know who's not there? Them.
Yeah, well, they got a little corner to jerk each other off in.
Guys, this is Night Nation Review, and Nick is a legend. At least very well known, and we were very lucky to have him as our first guest on the Big Brain Show. And thank you so much for taking the time. And dude, we're going to continue this conversation. It's not the last time by any means that we get together and do a show, hopefully.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me, Flood. It's been a blast, dude. And we'll talk
again. Much love, brother. Yeah. And I appreciate you. I appreciate that you've been a real stand up man throughout this whole thing. And, no lies detected so far.
Yes, sir.
That means a lot.
In view. It does. It does.
Well, white power, brother.
White power. I'll catch you later.
Okay, man. Thanks again. Guys, this is Nick Night Nation. Throw him some Romans. And this has been
Flood. Donate to Flood.
Thank you very much. Anon Goy did donate to us, and he says he loves white people, but 95% of them need to go into the volcano. Let's go. 95% is a pretty high percentage.
Volcano nationalism. Let's do it.
Somebody sent me $25. Oh, Charles Martel. Thank you. I don't know why Entropy is doing this thing where I can't see it. Thank you, Charles. You're incredibly kind. And let's take a look here. We got some FTJ. Modern Viking, incredibly generous. And thank you so much. He says, big brains, woo. Giuseppe said, epic takedown of backstabbing Benny Tanklin last night. I thought it was pretty good, too. A little spicy. But it was fun. It was a good time. I had fun doing last night's show. And I think that's pretty much it. But all the people that spread the links and all the people that subscribed and just like, you know, shared our stuff around and people that enjoy our work and just people that spend their free white time listening to my show or hanging out with us. That's not overlooked and it's very much appreciated and very humbled and grateful to be able to do this. And we look forward to coming back tomorrow night for the debut of Olympia. That's going to be absolute fire. And so I hope that you'll join us for that. And then sometime after that, I'll get that uploaded to the platforms. But hopefully we can see you all tomorrow and we'll have a really fun Friday night. And I think you'll enjoy the movie. And I want to say thank all of you guys for being gracious and kind to hang out with us tonight. And I hope only the best for you and yours, white power to you and your family. And your people, and all of our people. And I'll see you tomorrow.
These mountains are on fire, and the smoke fills up the sky. Grows older than their maker, I'm now born just to die. Thank you.